much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Look good, smell good, taste good, it's good.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Tell that to the guys making 10 bucks an hour. Joining me now to talk about this and the nation's real problem of joblessness, the Reverend Al Sharpton. What's your reaction to hearing someone say, you know, when it comes to income inequality, all's well. The rising tide floats all boats.
I'm Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Right. I don't, you know, I'm so sorry. The script in front of me said Reverend Al Sharpton. I'm looking at your face. I know who you are, Reverend Jackson. We all do. I'm sorry.
Anyway, Mondays, huh? Back to the grind.
And now,
you like drinking?
It's fun with the right people. But I don't drink to get drunk.
Does happiness come in bottles?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, party people, what's up?
Kevin.
How's it going?
Real
Kevin,
good.
Kevin, goddamn it.
Kev Dog, eat dog.
Kev Dog.
How long would you estimate you've been in the building?
Total?
Total.
You mean like my career?
No. From the time you walked in.
Today.
From the time you opened at the front door this morning to the time you said hello on the microphone. How long have you been in the building?
Say 8 seconds.
You are out of breath.
Let's say 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, weren't you on vacation last week?
Was I on vacation? Yes.
I was on vacation. The reason I ask is because I feel like for most people, they're gone for a week. They think, you know what? First day back, better make sure I get in on time to kind of catch up, know where I'm at, hit the ground running, find out what I missed, be prepared.
Yeah, you would think that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yet it seems like today maybe you came in later than usual. Usually you're here by, 5:28 and a half, 5:29, but today it was like 5:36.
Right. I'll run it down for you just exactly how it happened.
Okay, good.
Set the alarm next to my bed. It's music.
Sure.
Slept right through it.
Okay.
But I have a backup alarm that beeps in the bathroom. I have to stand up and walk in there to turn that off.
Good.
That can't be defeated.
Slept right through it.
You slept through the backup beeping?
Yeah. Pretty weird. And then it started sort of working itself into my dream. It was some kind of like beeping. And I was like, I don't know, what's this, car backing up? Why is this beeping going on? This doesn't make any sense to me. This is ridiculous. So then I was like, oh, no, it's my alarm. So I ran in, jumped in the shower for like 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, I can make it. I think I can still make it. So I ran out to my car, and I got ready to go, and I realized I didn't have my key. So then I ran back in, and I got the key. Mm-hmm. And then I ran back out, and then I realized, oh, my card key to get in the building is someplace else.
Sure.
So I don't have that. So then I ran back in for that. Then I got that. Then I got in the car. Then I drove here.
You are a gift.
And I thought, you know what? This is no way to run a life.
It's really no way to run a life.
Not really at all.
Just not. It's not how you want to start?
No.
Coming back?
Nope. It's not
so ideal. Are you a person, because you got to sleep in last week in exotic Mexico on vacation, are you the type of person who it's very easy to adjust to that new schedule, and now that's what your body wants to do, is get up at 8 o'clock or whatever time you were getting up last week?
Yeah, I think my body's just like, you know what? F you. I'm tired of this, and I don't want to get up. I think that's what happened. I don't know. It's hard to say.
It's a good start, though.
Yep.
I got to say,
very
ladies
happy.
And gentlemen, it's monkey time. It is monkey time.
Dog.
He is back. Well, I've got your brother to tell you about. His name is Darren Hopkins. He recently celebrated his 36th birthday in Australia, I want to say. Let's make it Australia.
Okay.
It's Australia. We may need to do a phone topic with the worst idea you ever had while you were drunk, because Darren Hopkins and his friend decided that it was his birthday and he wanted a convertible. He deserved a convertible. He had worked hard, and he should have a convertible. But unfortunately, he didn't have a convertible. So he and his mates decided they were going to make a convertible out of his – it looks like it's a four-wheel drive vehicle, like a Range Rover-type vehicle. So they decided they were going to turn it into a convertible by cutting the roof off.
Jeez.
So which, by the way, which always works.
Right. Right.
That's a good plan.
That's the best way to get any kind of work done in your car is to do it by yourself with the tools around your house and your drug.
That's right.
It's I won't be able to pronounce this, but it's an oxyacetylene cutter, which is an open flame that they use to cut metal. Around 2 a.m. Saturday, they decided to do it. So Mr. Hopkins and his friends each made a few cuts to try to pop off the roof, but then they either thought it was too hard or lost interest or realized the drinks were upstairs, so they packed it up and headed up into the apartment, not realizing that there were a couple of sparks still on the back seat. They had gone upstairs, had a couple more drinks, and turned around and looked outside, and there was a fireball out in front of Mr. Hopkins' house. The wires
fireball.
The wires had melted, and the car started itself, by the way. Have you ever heard of that happening in a fire? The car started itself?
No.
Or at least that's what they said. It sounds to me like maybe the brakes burned through or something like that, so it started moving down the street. So they run outside to stop the car out the street and eventually do get it. They ran to get a hose, then realized that the fire was way out of control for a hose, so they had to call emergency services, and they arrived and put the fire out, and no one was hurt. I thought it was hilarious. It's my big-ass birthday candle. I just couldn't blow it out. I had to call the fire brigade. Well, it's good that he thought it was hilarious.
So funny, right? My car's on fire. Wow. This is awesome. This is the way everybody should celebrate.
The police spokesperson said the group would not be facing any penalties. There is no criminal charge for destroying your own property or for stupidity, she added. So, but look, I don't know how much his car was worth, but that sounds like the kind of story you're going to be able to tell and laugh about for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's funny, though. There are a lot of people who don't find that kind of stuff funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever want to talk about that again.
Right,
but,
right, right.
You know, you got to learn to embrace the suck.
But, yeah, but worth it. Yeah. I bet our embrace the suck, by the way, could be the motto of this show. I think that would be an excellent phone-in for our listeners at some point, though. The genius decisions that you made while you were drunk. At the time, you know Darren said to his friends, seriously, guys, it's going to be awesome.
This
I'm going to have
work.
A convertible. How hard can it be?
And then he said, you'll see.
You'll see.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Me show, shall we?
Wow, you guys already got a banter. I like that. It's real cute. You guys clearly get each other.
We are going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.
Sure.
Like we do on Mondays. We have the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. What is this?
Nope.
Hitchhiker's?
No.
Nope.
That's not it?
Hitchhiking has been back in the news lately for a couple of reasons.
Back in
the
news.
It seems like there are people who in 2015 are still hitchhiking, but more mysterious, people who are still picking up hitchhikers. Which seems like a rocket ride to have in your throat slit, but people are doing it.
Yeah, that's so weird. But from both sides, I agree. It's weird to hitchhike, and it's super weird to pick somebody up. I would never pick somebody up. Would you?
No
way. Well, Allie, I'm asking Allie, please. Murder.
You don't invite somebody in your home,
right?
Right, Allie.
Good point.
It's ridiculous. Andrew Siciliano will be here from the NFL Network talking about week number 3 and the Cardinals' rise to the Super Bowl.
Dude,
right?
Last year it was the same thing. It's like you thought the team was going to run the table, man. They can't be beaten. They look good.
Yeah, I know. That was last year, but this year it's true.
But
yeah,
I'm saying, who knows, man?
That's what I'm saying. Who knows, man? Plus, DC, Daniel Cormier, who's fighting in UFC 192, will join us. Couldn't love him more. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
And keep on listening to the show all week long. In the morning here with Kevin and Bean and also throughout the day at K-Rock, we're going to give you tickets for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, which is up and running even though it's only September. Chip, you were there over the weekend. How was the Horror Nights?
It was awesome. Very cool. Yeah, they have there's a Walking Dead maze. There is a This is the End maze.
Strong.
Yeah, really good.
Giving away tickets. Get your details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win is coming up. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, what's up?
A lot more fun to win a game once in a while, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Rob's Eagles and my Seahawks finally got one over the weekend. That's nice. We'll be talking about the whole weekend with Andrew Siciliano coming up. How was the rest of your weekend, man?
Outstanding. Speaking of the weekend, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hotel Transylvania 2 kicked major butt at the box office this weekend. The one I mocked and derided so loudly last week. Now we know why they made a second one. In its debut weekend, made $47.5 million.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Made it number one by far for the weekend, inexplicably. If you heard that clip we played last week.
Andy, I heard that
Andy
was the...
Sandler's. This Dracula singing and Lullaby. I'm getting dizzy.
I heard that was the biggest September opening ever, which I find hard to believe, but that's what I heard.
In Turn was number two at the box office, $18.2 million in its debut. Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, came in at number three. Everest, fourth. Black Mass at number five. The Visit was sixth. The Perfect Guy, War Room, The Green Inferno, the new horror film from Eli Roth, debuted with $3.5 million, made it number nine. And Sicario debuted with $1.8 million this weekend. Still haven't got a chance to see that, but I'm dying to. Heard it's getting great reviews.
Fantastic.
Looking forward to seeing it. Have you seen it?
No, I'm saying same. I'm looking forward to it, and I've heard a lot of good
you
about it.
You said it's fantastic is what you said.
No, I said fantastic that people are saying good things about it.
Oh,
I'm looking
okay.
forward to seeing it.
Well, there you go. Did you leave your key? Did you leave your key outside?
No.
Okay. Anthony Anderson going from Blackish to Singlish. Entertainment Tonight is reporting that his wife, Alvina, has slapped him with divorce papers after 16 years of marriage. She's requested joint legal custody and primary physical custody of their 15-year-old son and 19-year-old daughter. The two were high school sweethearts. Aww. Separated back in April of last year. That's sad. And Kaylee Cuoco, who just beat us up with how much she and her husband were in love. Oh, there had never been a love like ours. Oh, it's the best. Oh. Oh, look my ring, look my thing, look this, look that. Love, love, love. After 20 months of marriage, they are splitting up. Well, let this be a lesson, America. Just shut the F up. If you're in love, we're happy for you, but just stay in your lane. Stop trying to tell us you've got it better than we all do, because then this is what happens. Get what you deserve. She's married to tennis pro Ryan Sweeting, and oh, so much love. Oh, I'm changing my name immediately. From now on, professionally, I will be known as Kelly Cuoco Sweeting because of the love and the name and the name of love and the love is name. Well, now they're divorcing, so.
20 months doesn't seem like you're trying very hard, by the way.
And how in love could you be if you couldn't make it through the second year?
Yeah.
That's not love. You know what that is? Boop!
Yeah, well,
that is.
Yes, it is.
That's genital engorgement. That's what that is.
It's a good band. It's a good band right
name
there.
Name my new album. Maybe we'll all pick it up. And while we're focusing on love, Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. Woo! That was some love. Remember that tape?
They're not back together, are they?
Uh-oh. Sausage.
Yep.
That was love. That's love, people. You want to see love? Get that tape and watch it. That's love. It's a man driving a boat with his penis.
It's true. Sure is.
That's love. Their sex tape, of course, is legendary. Pammy was on Watch What Happens Live over there on Bravo, and the host there, Andy Cohen, brought up the sex tape. And she was very forthcoming, which I thought was cool. It's one of the most popular celebrity sex tapes in history. And the two of them, Tommy Lee and Pam Anderson, earned nothing from that tape.
I thought really? They had to give their approval, and then...
Here's what went down. She said the film was stolen, as the pair originally... claimed from their home by a contractor, and the contractor was the one that went to sell it, and they decided to move forward with all the legal wranglings to keep the tape from being seen the light of day, but they decided it was just not worth their time and energy and all the negativity, so they just dropped it, as she says, to stop all the shenanigans, and they just moved on with their life. So the guy sold the tape. Vivid, I guess, had the rights. They made the money, but the two of them never saw any of it.
They should make a part two.
Yeah, right?
There you go.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like this.
Eh. All right. We got it.
Wow. Big ones, right?
Yeah. One. And Leah Remini. Always liked her. Like her more now. Now that she's speaking out about the controversial religion of Scientology. She was a longtime member, and then she got out, and now she has written a book. Called Troublemaker, Surviving Hollywood and Scientology. Leah and her publisher promised the book will be honest, bold, brash, bravely confessional, and will, of course, contain her will at the end, because when it gets published, they're going to find her bones on it in a trailer in Long Beach in one of those shipping containers.
I did wonder if she is going to like do a book tour and advertise where she's going to be ahead of time.
What's your crimes? What are your crimes? What are your crimes?
I feel like it maybe.
What are your crimes?
For a name change and a new identity.
What are your crimes?
They're going to hit her with all the different variations.
What are your crimes?
Leah left the church in 2013, and she's become a target for that controversial organization.
Seems to be happening a lot. Time.
The folks are leaving?
Yeah.
Yeah. We may be on the other side of the mountain. We'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Young Jeezy, right? Who's with me? Young Jeezy. Okay, he's 38 years old today. Mira Sorvino's 48. Naomi Watts is 47 years old. Dita Von Teese celebrates her 43rd birthday. Bam Margera. Is that microphone inside the bell this morning?
What's the problem?
That is some belling right there.
A little shrill.
That's a bell and a half.
It's exactly where it always is.
Move it a little.
Bam Margera is 36 years old. Singer St. Vincent. Oh, she's adorable, isn't she? All right. She's 33 years old today. Nobody wants to agree on birthdays today. Hilary Duff. Oh, the Duffster. The Duffmeister. She's 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
I don't think you know this story, Allie McKay, but years ago, my wife was traveling and found herself sitting next to the Dalai Lama in an airport.
What?
They're both waiting for their planes, and he was very approachable, just hanging out. He had some people that travel with him, but he was not sequestered or being held away from the public. And she went over and sat down next to him. And they sat there and just chatted for several minutes while they enjoyed gummy bears together.
I'm sorry. The real Dalai Lama?
Yes, the real Dalai Lama, yes.
Is this Mad Libs?
No, this is happened. Kevin, you've heard that story before. And now that I see this latest interview that the Dalai Lama just did with the BBC, I guess I'm glad he didn't just nail her in the airport because he seems like, well, I'm not going to go so far as to say he's a horn dog, but he did say some things that were surprising to me. Look, here's the thing with the Dalai Lama is he's a Tibetan monk who is a spiritual leader to his people. And they believe that he will die and somebody else will come forward and be the new Dalai Lama. It will be passed down mysteriously. And I guess it's a fascinating thing to look into because I guess they have some series of tests that they go through that only the true new Dalai Lama will be able to complete. So he was being asked about who's going to succeed him. Where's the new Dalai Lama out there in the world? And he said, well, we don't know, but it could be a woman if she's hot enough.
Oh.
Which isn't my understanding of how religion works.
No, but I like it.
let's hear a little bit of the tape with the actual Dalai Lama being interviewed by the BBC talking about his hot successor.
Female Dalai Lama, come. Then right. That female.
Will be
attractive.
Must be very attractive.
Otherwise,
it's not
attractive.
Much use.
It's just going to... Really? some people, my face...
You're joking, I'm assuming. Oh, you're not joking.
Oh?
No?
I mean, true.
He's not joking. Her face must be very, very attractive. Otherwise, not of much use, is the quote from the Bible.
Wow.
If you had to list the people that said that, he would not even show up.
Top 1,000.
That's awesome.
So what does how she looks have to do with whether she's the true Dalai Lama and she could be the spiritual leader to her people? I don't understand. So we asked Dave, is there any way you can get the Dalai Lama on the line with us? And I believe we have him on the phone right now. Hi, Dalai Lama.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine. We're just, as much of the world is, very surprised by this recent interview you did with the BBC, sir.
Why are you surprised?
Well, because it just seems like what a person looks like doesn't have anything to do with their value to others within the religion. It seems like if their heart is pure and they've got the right message and they're ministering to their people, that's what's important.
But life is more than just spiritual or mental.
Right.
You must have life of all the aspects of life together in order to find balance and to have a successful life and successful spirituality.
Just seems like it's a little superficial to say as long as she's hot. Otherwise, she's not of much use.
Well, that is true of the Dalai Lama or leaders. I myself am incredibly handsome.
I was going to ask, are you hot?
Way hot.
Yeah.
Really?
And it's true. It's true. And so if the Buddhist are looking upon me, it must be pleasing for sight for them to have.
Right. Oh, you think so? That's interesting.
And they more receptive to what's coming out of attractive face than Carly Fiorina.
What does she have to do with anything?
She's so ugly. Donald Trump told me that.
Yeah, he has mentioned that.
Do you know Donald Trump?
Oh, Donald Trump and I are very also friends. Good.
Huh. Oh dear.
That's a surprise.
We get together sometimes to talk about life.
Mm-hmm.
And,
really?
And hair.
And hair?
Life
really?
And hair.
Yes, his hair. It's yeah. one of God's many mysteries.
It certainly really is. You're right about that.
I will not rest until I get to the bottom of that hair question.
So, Dalai Lama, you are the 14th of the Dalai Lamas in the Tibetan faith, and the 15th you say could be female. The female biologically has more potential to show affection and compassion. So you acknowledge that maybe there would be an advantage to having a female Dalai Lama as long as she's attractive.
There's no reason why. She cannot be a female. Something in religion say that she cannot be female Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. And I think it's true. From the mothers, of course, have a great capacity for love and forgiveness and compassion.
Right.
But most importantly, she has to be hot. Because, and if it could be big cans, also,
oh, okay, Dalai Lama.
Big cans.
Yeah, I'm a boob man.
Right, but
look, I'm all in, but it seems like you shouldn't be.
Look, milk of life comes from boobies.
Ooh. Right, well, we understand that, but.
Well, then you should want big boobies like I do.
Right, but again.
And a nice ass would be good.
Really?
What is the point of that? Under all that clothing.
Yeah, but, you know. More cushion for pushing. Right? Who's with me?
Well, we just don't expect to hear that coming from a spiritual leader, that's all.
The party don't stop till the ropes drop. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Monday mornings about this time each week, we talk to our good friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. A lot of good stuff on the site we want to get to, Harvey. But first of all, how are you? How was your weekend?
It was good. We're doing a game show.
You're doing a game show?
We're doing a game show that is so fun. I am so excited about this show. And I can't say too much about it, but we're shooting it now, and it is so much fun.
Now, is this going to be part of the regular TMZ broadcast, or is this going to be another separate show you're going to have?
It's a separate show. It's not TMZ. It's a really fun show.
Wow.
And we shot it. We're shooting on the weekend.
So are you the host?
No, we got out way young. You know, you watch our show?
Yes, of course.
You know the guy who was the camera guy in New York, Adam, who would pitch stories from New York, dark
hair? Okay, yes.
He is the host of this game show, and I will bet you that in a couple of months you're going to say to me, he is the best game show host on TV.
Wow.
There's some pretty good ones, Harvey.
He is so good. It is so. You're not gonna. This show is so fun.
Is it? Is it based on celebrity news? Is it trivia about the news?
It's based on celebrity news, but it's way different than you think, and it's much more of an urban game show.
Okay, all right.
It's fun. It is fun. I'm really excited.
So now I've got to get some black friends together to watch it with me. Is that what you're saying? All right. Before we move on to what's on the site, speaking of television, do you or do you not have contestants on this season of The Amazing Race that work for you, Harvey?
Yeah, well, we did.
What happened to your girls?
They were just horrible, weren't they?
I mean, look, The Amazing Race is an incredibly difficult program.
They were terrible.
I don't know what you guys are laughing at me. It's like last place is not necessarily great, right?
Do they have jobs to come back to or no?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
We were so please. Hey, they were gone a month.
Right.
They were gone a month. That's called a good boss, okay?
Yeah. They were gone a month to be eliminated before the end of the first challenge.
But the whole thing, they sequester them for. I mean, Patty Hearst was not in captivity as long as.
All right. Let's talk about what's up.
Did their good boss just mention that they were horrible?
Yeah, real horrible. They were awful.
Right, just checking.
No. They told me they were. So okay, I think I can say that.
Harvey, last Tuesday morning, we had actor Ben McKenzie in our studio from Gotham. He plays Jim Gordon on Gotham. And we've had him on many times over the years. He's a friend of the show. We really had a great time talking to him. Then I think the next day after he was on, you break the news on the site that he has knocked up his co-star, Marina Baccarat. We're like, couldn't he have given us some sort of a scoop? But no, once again, you got to the bottom of it. Tell me about that. There's a little question as to the timeline of this pregnancy, right?
Yeah, the timeline is pretty critical here. So what happened was she is married, and she's getting a divorce. And in the legal papers, it came out she is 3.5 months pregnant. The issue is this. She's 3.5 months pregnant with Ben's kid, and she is married to another guy. Now, the other guy is saying that she got pregnant while they were still together. Now, she co-stars with Ben on Gotham.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And she is saying that they had split up by that time, but there is, like, this timing issue that they're disputing in this thing. But now she says in her legal docs that she plans on marrying Ben. So you guys really did not get a lot of information.
No, we didn't at all. I can't believe it. I mean, does that make a difference, Harvey? You're a lawyer, and you've seen a lot of these Hollywood marriages break up. Will that make a huge difference in how the divorce goes through, how whatever money is being allocated goes through? I mean, will he have to prove some sort of infidelity there to help his case, or what's going to happen next?
No, because they're getting divorced in California, and it's a no-fault state. So he's kind of throwing this in. And the only reason it's kind of interesting is because she's referring to it, too. I mean, she's acknowledging that she's pregnant in her papers. But I think what's going on is this, that they're shooting the show in New York. They lived in L.A. She says he promised if she took the show that he would move to New York. But he's staying in L.A., and he was asking to keep the kid in L.A., and she's saying, look, he kind of deceived me because he said he would move to New York, and now I'm pregnant, I'm not going to be able to fly, so I want my kid in New York because they have a one-year-old. So gotcha. What the judge ended up doing is saying, look, it's going to be joint custody, and he can fly back and forth to New York. So I think they've kind of worked that out, but it becomes relevant there just in terms of the pregnancy. But in terms of, you know, when she got involved with him and whatnot, that's all irrelevant because it's a no-fault state.
How delightful for the one-year-old to have his parents split up, though. I love that. I'm not positive the one-year-old knows. Well, not yet. Not yet.
He reads blogs.
Exactly. All right. And one more. You tell me there's something else going on with Chris Brown. Now, is this him maybe never being allowed to go to Australia again? Is that what we're talking about or something else?
I think this is a really interesting story. So the Australian government has said that their inclination is not to allow Chris Brown into the country. He is scheduled to perform 3 concerts in December. And the government has said, look, because of the Rihanna beating, you are not of the proper character to be in this country, in our country. And he has 28 days to respond, to make a case. And based on the statements that we've seen from the government, I don't think he's getting in. And they denied Floyd Mayweather for a similar thing. So I have a feeling Chris Brown is going to be excluded from Australia, and he's going to have to cancel these concerts. What's interesting is, I think kind of ridiculously, he tweeted last week, I'm coming to Australia, in the face of what the government officials are saying, and it's kind of like waving a red flag in front of a bull. I don't know why he would do that, but I think they're not going to let him in.
Excuse me, hologram.
Oh, there you go.
Good point.
Right? Chief Keef it, right.
Chief Keef it.
You know what? You're right. Maybe they'll do that. I wonder if they could ever bar holograms.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want to know how come Australia can keep Chris Brown out of their country and we can't keep him out of our country. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, wouldn't that be interesting if Vegas had the same policy?
Oh, it'd be awesome. All right, Harvey.
Down by Vegas. There's some serious issues there.
TMZ.com, your favorite website of all time ever. Please go there often. TMZ airs on Fox throughout the day on Channel 11 and TMZ Live at 4, and then TMZ Hollywood Sports on the Real Channel, and then coming soon, the TMZ Game Show. Looking forward to hearing more about that. Harvey, thank you for the time. Have a wonderful week, sir.
You too, guys.
Saturday night, Houston, Texas, UFC 192. Our friend Daniel Cormier is going to be defending his UFC light heavyweight championship crown against Alexander Gustafsson. DC will join us in studio in about 30 minutes from right now in the Kevin and Bean Show. Is he about our favorite UFC fighter to come by?
Certainly one of them, yeah. He's
I love
great.
Him so much. Yeah. Kevin, you were on vacation.
He's coming in today?
Yeah.
Yeah, our favorite by far. You were on vacation last week, Kevin, so you missed a story that that came out of Huntington Beach that was a big local story and then went viral. And there has been a lot of misinformation out about this story, so we wanted to find out more about it. This is a story that maybe you heard something about, kids, that involves a blind classmate getting into a fight at a Huntington Beach high school. And then another classmate stepped in to assist the blind kid. And there was talk that that kid was suspended, and people were just outraged that this guy stepped in to help a visually impaired classmate and now may miss school as a result of it and have a black mark on his record. Like I said, a lot of misinformation. We're not exactly sure what happened, but we do have a man who would know. He is a reporter for the Huntington Beach Independent, and he joins us on the phone right now, Anthony Carpio, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Anthony, thanks so much for getting up early and coming on. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. So give us the basics on this for folks who are hearing this story for the first time. What went down that day? First of all, when was it?
So it was last Wednesday around lunchtime at Huntington Beach High School. The visually impaired kid and the, I guess, the aggressor, he would be called, guys were just passing by one another during lunch, and one kid said another thing to another. They got into a verbal argument, and one kid just started throwing punches. And that's how this all started.
Okay, so how much of a fight was it? I mean, the aggressor, shall we say, hits the blind kid once, twice? Is it a beat down? Does the blind kid fight back? How much do you know about what went down in the actual fight before our man Cody Pine stepped in?
Well, if you saw the video, there were about 2 to 3 punches or even 4 that were thrown before Cody came in to knock down the aggressor. So I don't know how many other punches were thrown, but I don't think it was much of a fight. It was pretty one-sided, according to the video.
As it would be, I guess, if you're fighting a blind guy. It would be pretty one-sided. All right, so Cody is just he's not involved in the conversation or the altercation at all. He just sees what's happening and runs over to jump in?
Right. He was kind of just a bystander, probably like a couple feet away. And if you actually look at the video, he comes running up to knock the other kid over, just stop all the fighting.
Now that guy's in trouble?
Well, see, Cody has not been suspended. According to the school district, he has been to school since the incident. So it was there Thursday and Friday. I don't think they're intending to suspend Cody. He is still attending school.
So where did that storyline come from, that he was being suspended? We heard when we were leaving Friday, Anthony, we heard that there was a Facebook page set up to try to get the suspension overturned. Where did all that misinformation come from, if you know?
And that's what we're still trying to figure out. And there's also that online petition where they're trying to get Cody back on the football team since he was a player on the team last year. There's a petition that's been swirling around online. But the thing is, Cody hasn't been on the football team since last spring, and he wasn't even on the roster to begin with this year. So
people are saying, look, what you did was good. We know you're not interested in being in the football team.
We want to get you back on, though.
We sort of need you. So would you sign up again?
Right. Get Cody in band. That's the next petition. Get Cody. Like, come on. What's happening here?
By the way, that punch, I mean, I watched the video, Anthony, and it looked to me like he decked that kid, but I was also very concerned that it seemed like the kid was bleeding from the head when he went down. How seriously was he injured?
Well, police haven't released how badly injured the kid was since he's a minor, but yeah, watching that video over and over again, it was a pretty substantial punch, I believe. I mean, if you heard the audio, it was a pretty good snap.
Here's the weird sentence in the article for me. The student's disability does not appear to have played a factor in the incident at all.
Right, and police said that the two kids have had beef with one another for a while, so I guess the visually impaired kid's disability wasn't a factor. I think they've just had
a rough history with one another.
Huh. All right. Last question from me, Anthony, and that is, when we were talking about this very briefly at the end of the show on Friday, we heard from another student at the school who wrote in and said, you can't make a judgment based on the 30-second video because you don't see what happened before that. He was suggesting that the blind kid was the aggressor in this incident. Not that that gives any excuse for beating him up, but he said that this kid that we're now referring to as the bully tried to walk away, and the blind kid wouldn't let him. I don't know how that's possible. Seems like it's pretty easy to get away from a blind kid, but that the blind kid was in fact the aggressor, and not that he deserved it, but that there is more than the way it looked on this video. Have you been able to get any greater context from the video from the people that you've spoken with at the school?
Well, not really. I was talking with Cody on Thursday, and he mentioned to me something along those lines, but police haven't confirmed anything. The school district hasn't really said much about the incident. So, I mean, if these kids are saying what they're saying, I mean, you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt.
Okay. I lied and said I had my last question was the last one, but are there any parents getting involved in any lawsuits being threatened, as so often is the case when the kids fight in school?
So right now we haven't heard if the district attorney has filed any charges against the aggressor, nor have we heard if the visually impaired kids' parents have filed any charges. All we know is that police arrested him on misdemeanor battery charges, and he was released. But as of right now, we don't know that he...
Did any of the parents fight?
I don't know. Okay. Maybe.
All right. Anthony Carpio is a reporter for the Huntington Beach Independent. What's the website on that? How can people follow you and follow this story, Anthony?
Sure. We are on hbindependent.com.
Great. Thanks so much for coming on. We enjoyed talking to you.
Hey, thank you guys so much.
Thank you. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53. All right. It was a weekend that people did things and saw things and read things and know things that we don't. So this is your chance to give us a call and fill us in. Tell us what's good here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're opening,
opening up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you. Oh, we love you too, Doto. You can call on any topic. I sure hope people want to talk more about that moon last night.
It was blood red and it went out. The moon went out. It's the end times.
I sure would like to see some more blurry iPhone photos of that moon. That's what I'm excited about
today. But there was a moon and then there wasn't one. First the moon appeared and then it disappeared. It's Satan.
Anyway.
Somebody texted me, you got to see the moon. Go out and look
magic,
right now.
It's magic and it's Satan magic.
So I walked outside and I looked in the sky and I didn't see a moon. I was like, all right, this is BS.
Because the moon went out.
Because it was an eclipse, Kevin. Anyway, so if you were at watching some college football or you were at Santa Anita or whatever you were doing this weekend, that was fun. We want to hear about it. Give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, what's good? Coming up just after 7, then Daniel Cormier joins us right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday.
Maybe you went to see the movies this weekend. Maybe you went to your local theater and watched a major motion picture. Maybe you were one of millions who went to see Hotel Transylvania 2. If that's the case, have a seat. We need to have a conversation. What's wrong with you?
By the way, Kevin, we were talking about this on the movie beat on Friday when Ralph brought up that they were making a sequel to Hotel Transylvania, and I looked it up. How much money do you think the first Hotel Transylvania made? This is an animated movie with Adam Sandler.
That's hard. I mean, I would think like $8 million. I can't imagine it was that good.
Close. $385 million was the box office for Hotel Transylvania.
America.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Which is explains why they made another one.
Wait, yeah. Kevin, how
said
much did you think
$380
it was?
Million.
Oh, $380. All right.
And then you said, oh, 80. After he said 380, you went, ooh, 80.
But that's still... Those aren't the same? Is that what you're saying? 380?
380 would be approximately $300 million more than $80 million.
Okay. All right. I got you now. Not good at math. Not great
Kevin,
at math.
God damn it.
Math expert.
What did you do on your vacation that just sucked the life energy out of you?
How dare you?
Most people, when they go on vacation, have some sort of rest and relaxation.
Come back rejuvenated.
Which would recharge whatever lacking energies or intellect they may have would give them more strength in those departments.
Can't answer that.
All right. Hotel Transylvania 2 in its debut, inexplicably, made $47.5 million.
It was $380 million, Ralph. I was listening.
Now, the first Hotel Transylvania Total box office was $380 million. Now the sequel, Hotel Transylvania 2, made $47.5 million this one opening weekend, setting a September record for a movie opening. Then Robert De Niro went to work for Anne Hathaway in a movie called The Intern. That was a distant second with $18.2 million. Maze Runner, Scorch Trials came in at number 3. Everest and Black Mass were your top 5 movies at the box office. The Visit was 6th. The Perfect Guy, War Room, The Green Inferno, the new horror film from Eli Roth. That teaches the very important lesson I think we all need to learn, which is do not try to help the environment. If you do, indigenous peoples will eat you.
All right. Good tip.
Sicario, in limited release, was the number 10 at the box office with $1.8 million. While we're talking about movies, censorship officials in Vietnam have announced a new rule that limits sex scenes in any film made in Vietnam to no more than 5 seconds. A sex scene in a Vietnamese film must now be no longer than 5 seconds.
So they want realistic sex then.
They're calling this the Bean Baxter rule.
How dare you?
That sex must last no longer than 5 seconds.
And so that includes a meal.
The Baxter rule goes into effect immediately. And
I can't even get my wallet out to pay her in 5 seconds.
You never guess who's back, who's hip, who's hot. Agatha Christie, never been hotter.
Hasn't she been dead for decades?
Very dead.
How dare you?
She's really dead, yeah.
Fox has announced they're making a movie based on her 1939 novel, And Then There Were None. Oh, great story.
Is that the 10 Little Indians? Is that the same story?
Nope.
Oh, it's not.
That would be the novel 10 Little Indians.
Well, I didn't know if they had changed the name.
Agatha Christie's novel is And Then is There Were None.
Is that the one where
is that Murder on the Orient Express?
On the Orient Express? Is that the one?
That'd be the novel Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay.
This particular novel is called And Then There Were None.
Hang on, we'll guess. Hold on.
Nope.
This is the one about the mousetrap.
No need to guess. That'd be a play she wrote, a famous play called The Mousetrap.
Oh, that's not it either. Huh?
This is a book, not a play.
Allie, don't you have a guess?
It's from 1939.
I'm sitting here in shock that you're not helping. Is what I'm doing. My God.
I had to push him over the finish line, but we all knew where he was going.
What? Really, Kevin?
This book, once again, is entitled And Then There Were None. Did you guys ever read the Agatha Christie mysteries? Any of them?
A few of them.
Good books. Yeah. No. Good books.
But they're books, so.
This is a great story. 10 strangers are invited to an isolated island by a mysterious host. They have no apparent connection to each other. And then start to get killed off one by one. It's sort of the traditional, classic murder mystery setups that you've seen used and then parodied in many, many films. But this was the OG version. And they're going to make a film based on that. No casting of the film has been announced. Fox is also making an adaptation of Kevin's favorite book, Murder on the Orient Express, that Kenneth Branagh will be directing. So she's got 2 feature films in the works right now.
Crazy, right?
It is crazy. And Madonna had a show in Philadelphia just before the Pope got to town. Oh, there's a 1-2 punch for you. She told the crowd on Thursday night before the Pope arrived, "The Pope is stalking me. Either he's a copycat or he's secretly in love with me." Oh, Madonna. You're so shocking. His Holiness and the Church got a few mentions during the concert. Madonna said, "I've been excommunicated from the Catholic Church 3 times. It shows the Vatican really cares." Oh, Madonna, you're exactly.
So funny. Ralph, I didn't see much of the coverage of the Pope in Philadelphia.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Is it true that Mark Wahlberg introduced him at an event?
He did indeed. He was the MC for the big celebrity-laden ceremony there. And
how
by
is
the
that
way,
possible?
Wait, really?
And by the way, Mark Wahlberg... Before he introduced the pontiff, Al, you know where I'm going with this, don't you?
I am, and I'm shocked, and I am appalled.
That's right. Before the Pope hit the stage, Mark said into the microphone, "Go Eagles."
He was just pandering to the crowd, obviously.
Boom! Drop the mic! Boom! What? No! Boston's own Mark Wahlberg has forsaken his Patriots.
Wow. He was pandering.
To get with a team that... that the Pope and God loves, apparently, this weekend, because a miracle happened and they won a game. So there must be divine intervention. And so Mark Wahlberg said, go Eagles.
What? No.
What?
Then the Pope led the chant, E-A-G-L-E-S.
And he formed the letters with his body, which was hard to tell because he wears those flowing robes. But underneath, he bleeds green, man. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Hilary Duff is 28 years old today. Singer St. Vincent, she's 33. Bam Margera is 36. Dita Von Teese is 43. You think she celebrates her birthday in a big champagne glass? She just hangs out there just soaking?
Yes.
I do. That's how I like to imagine her. Naomi Watts is 47. Mira Sorvino is 48. And Young Jeezy, the rapper, is 38 years old today. At what point does Young Jeezy stop being referred to as Young Jeezy?
I don't know. Ask the Beach Boys.
38. He's right. He's right on the border, right?
Yeah. Right.
He's 38, as I mentioned. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Good time for you to pick up the phone and give us a call and talk to us about anything on your mind. Questions, comments, 1-800-520-1067. That's the telephone number for a little feature that we like to call What's Good?
What's Good?
What's Good? Come on and let us know what you want to talk about on this show. What's Good? Come on and let us know what's going on. Time to go. What's Good?
Take a few calls, and then our friend Daniel Cormier joins us. By the way, he's here in the building playing Ms. Pac-Man right now down the hall.
But he comes early just to do that.
He does, yeah.
I respect it.
Let's go to line one to get a starter here. This is going to be Tanine calling from Irvine.
Hey,
hi, Tanine.
There.
Hi.
What's up?
What's good?
What's good?
Brooklyn Nine-Nine's back.
Yes, it is.
Did you guys watch it last night?
I did, and it was great, and that show is so funny, and I'm glad. I want to hear what you have to say about it, Tanine, but let me tell Kevin real quick that we had, you know, we've been having almost everybody from that show on the Kevin and Bean show,
because right.
We love it so much. We had Stephanie Beatrice in last week, who plays Rosa.
Who Allie, we love.
Could she have been less Rosa?
No, she was the opposite of Rosa. She was so sweet, so demure, so she was lovely.
Right.
And
bubbly
at any moment,
fun.
I thought, she's going to Rosa at some point. Nope. She's not Rosa.
Do you guys know that that's a TV role?
What?
Yes, but I'm just
so
saying.
So that when she goes in there, she inhabits perhaps another character.
Which she brought up to us. She's like, you guys, it's acting. You're aware of that. Like, yeah, kind of, but still.
And I understand that it's acting, but still, you think that they would have seen something. Like, I thought, in order to get cast as Rosa, you would have to really display a lot of Rosa. You know what I mean? And I can't see this woman like flipping a switch like that, because she's just funny and bubbly and nice and sweet and so pretty, by the way.
And the character was supposed to be nothing like what Rosa is. It was essentially going to be some kind of lady named Megan. Who cares?
Right.
Megan. Total
exactly.
Throwaway. Then they met Stephanie and made it Rosa.
Tanine, what did you want to say about 9-9 last night?
I felt like it was a little expository, but that's kind of par for the course for a first episode of the season, but I'm really excited for the new season. I felt like Bill Hader was having a lot of fun with the role, and I was, spoiler alert, a little sad to see him leave so soon.
Hey, spoiler alert, by the way. First of all, Kevin hasn't seen it yet. But second of all, you called our show and tried to use the word expository. Do you not know what our show is about?
Listen,
hey.
All walks of life listen to your show.
Hey, I can look it up, Bean.
All right, Tanine, you're awesome. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Sean Orange, please, up next on line three. Hey, Sean, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number if you want to get in on What's Good.
Hey, Bean, I thought you would have talked about that crazy lady in Alabama that called the Paul Feinbaum show complaining about Auburn losing. Her husband was cheating on her. He had to sleep on the couch for a week. You know what I'm talking about?
I did not see that, but it sounds like something I need to see. Is this a video that's out there?
It's a video, but it's a call-in, so it's all audio. But, this woman was livid about Auburn losing a couple weeks ago. It was on ESPN.com. I definitely check it out. It was hilarious.
Wait, what is it? Her husband cheated on her because they lost?
Yeah, she had it wasn't because they lost.
That was a bet. If they lose, I get to have sex with whoever I want.
She was teasing her about Auburn losing, and then she was already mad at him because she caught him on that cheating website. And
that's awesome.
Wow.
All right. It was a 10-minute long rant. It was hilarious.
That story has everything.
We will definitely look that up. I love that. Thank you, Sean. That's exactly what What's Good is about, by the way, is Sean just told us about something that we will enjoy that we probably can turn around and share with you, but that we wouldn't have heard about if it hadn't been for him. All right, let's go to line two, please. Whittier is where Martha is, and she's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Martha.
What's good?
What's
Hi,
good?
How are you?
We are good.
Well, I was calling because I heard that Kevin, I think, said that, or asked if, and then there was none, is the same as 10 Little Indians.
Yeah.
And Ralph ranked on him.
Mm-hmm.
He's right.
Yeah.
That novel was released under several different titles, and 10 Little Indians was just one of them.
And that's not the most offensive one.
Right.
We did a little research. Title. It turns out we can't say the original title.
Yeah, the original title is a surprise to all of us. By the way, I know that people have a lot of trouble differentiating between the voices on this program. Which one's Kevin, which one's me? You really think that Kevin corrected Ralph on the proper title of an Agatha Christie novel from the 30s?
How dare you,
You
sir?
Really think that Kevin is the one that came up with that?
He surprised us lately.
Yes, he has.
Thank you, Martha, I think.
All right, thanks for the call. That's What's Good. Daniel Cormier, our UFC light heavyweight champion, is in the building. We'll talk to him next on camera.
I am Daniel Cormier, the UFC light heavyweight champion.
Cormier just tagged Silva with a right hand. Uppercut. Down goes Silva. Cormier has done it. He has just defeated Bigfoot.
He might have it here.
DC looking
for the submission.
His own glove. For the finish. That's it.
It is all over. Daniel Cormier, winner by submission. He defeats Dan Henderson.
Went out.
Total domination.
He choked Dan out.
And look at this. Daniel locking up at Kimura. This could be it. He's going to tap.
It is all over. Daniel Cormier. It's the new UFC light heavyweight champion.
John Jones, get your together. I'm waiting for you.
Because you know I'm all about that cake and chicken.
/192 in Houston, Texas. He joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Daniel, can you hear us okay? You all right down there?
No, I can hear you guys.
There you go. You missed the big intro. We put together a big intro for you.
You guys went out your way to do that for me. But you know what? That goes to show how welcome I am here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'll play it again.
Can we please play it again? Daniel Cormier, the UFC light heavyweight champion.
Cormier just tagged Silva with a right hand. Uppercut. Down goes Silva. Cormier has done it. He has just defeated Bigfoot.
He might have it here.
DC looking
for the submission.
His own glove for the finish. That's it.
It is all over. Daniel Cormier, winner by submission. He defeats Dan Henderson.
Went out.
Total domination.
He choked Dan out.
And look at this. Daniel locking up at Kimura. This could be it. He's going to tap. It is all over. Daniel Cormier. It's the new UFC light heavyweight champion.
John Jones, get your together. I'm waiting for you.
Because you know I'm all about that cake. About that cake.
Is that better? Happy?
Hey, much better. And the crowd goes wild.
Yeah, the crowd goes wild.
If you guys could see this studio right now, I mean, people are doing push-ups. We're all doing jumping jacks. I had everybody fired up. It's awesome in here.
I feel like you've earned that. You've earned to hear it. So
I think so, too. Man, it was great.
We got a lot of ground we got to cover ahead of talking about this Saturday. But first and foremost, how'd you do on Pac-Man today?
You know what, man? I got this coach named Rosendo Sanchez. He's very short, and when I'm not fighting, he's gone. But he's like 5'2", you know? So they said every time, and he's a very angry guy.
Oh, yeah.
So they go, every time I'm about to fight, the little troll from under the bridge comes, and he just trolls us, and he's mean to us, and he's just bitter and just angry.
Wow.
And he just went and bullied me on Pac-Man and beat me. He's been under his bridge practicing Pac-Man for the last 3 months since my last fight? It's ridiculous.
He's a ringer.
That's ridiculous.
He's a ringer. He's the evil guy in all the Disney shows.
So, DC, you're defending your belt, man.
Yeah,
That's got to feel good for the people who still don't like you being the champion because it's not who they thought would be the champion at this point. You get a chance to prove something.
Yeah, I do. You know, I get to fight a guy that fought Jones very well, and people hold him in high regard, you know. So, for people that say, well, DC, you're not the champion – look at what Anthony Johnson does to everyone else and look at what I did to him.
Yeah.
You know, I stepped in there on 3 weeks' notice to fight a guy that pretty much dismantles everyone that they put in front of him, and I submitted him. So nothing was given to me. I went in there on May 23rd, and I earned it.
Now, Kevin and Bean won't mention this, but I will. Mm-hmm. You are jacked right now. You look better than you ever have. What is happening?
I would mention that. He's
you would?
Jacked.
You know,
absolutely. All right.
You know, I actually got a new nutritionist, man. Dan Leaf is He's got a program called FitVT, and they took away IVs. Before, we could rehydrate through intravenous fluids,
right.
And now we can't do that anymore because the UFC has incorporated USADA into our drug test and try to clean up the sport. So
explain to people when you cut weight how that used to help.
Oh, my goodness.
And
like,
how you cut weight.
It's like what I do is I would be heavy. You know, I'd be 225 pounds, 220, and then I would suck off 15 pounds of water, and then I could just rehydrate very fast with an IV. Mm-hmm. Put a bag of IV, the fluid goes directly into your blood, doesn't have to go through your stomach and everything. So I started using Dan, their specialty is oral rehydration. So they figured it out through math and science how to rehydrate you. So Dan has been at my house for the last month feeding me food that is not red beans and rice, and it's definitely not cake and chicken. But it's working. You know, I feel great. I feel great. I'm ready to go.
Do you get to the point, I know that the fight's the most important thing in the world. You know, you're the champ. You've wanted that your whole life. But do you get to the point where you go, I can't wait to eat?
Oh, all day.
I'm going to have so much fun next week.
Him being at my house is kind of funny because every day after practice, I come home, he goes into the kitchen, fixes food, I lay on the couch, and immediately I'm watching the Travel Channel because that's where Barbecue Pit Masters and all that stuff is on. And I'm also watching the Food Network because I love Man versus Food and stuff like that. So he's like, dude, it's crazy that you just watch this constantly
while you're
dieting. I feel
like you're torturing yourself.
Yeah. But it's good, though, because it's like, man, if I can hold out for a few more weeks and I can have all the barbecue I want.
Now, are you the first fighter, or is this the first fight now that the rules have been implemented?
Yeah.
So you're like the guinea pig.
That's the exact terminology I used the other day. I was like, you know, we're the guinea pigs of the USADA stuff because we're the first ones that actually are going to have to fight without the IV. The ban actually starts on October 1st. I weigh in on October 2nd. I asked, I get an extra day? I mean, one extra day for old DC. You know, give the old guy one day to use his IV. They said no, so I had to find a way around it.
So does this mean that your weight basically Wednesday, Thursday is going to be the same as it is Friday? I mean, is that what it is? You're basically at weight now or will be soon?
No. You just have to figure out a formula to get all the fluids and all the nutrients and everything that I would get in that IV bag through liquid form, and that's okay. What they've done. So he's taken all my body fat, all my levels in my body, and he's used them and found a formula to find how much sodium I need, how much all this stuff. I don't even know what it is. The guy starts talking. He says words I can't understand.
Right,
but
and you don't care. It works.
I don't care. Yeah. It works. You know. So he's like. He tells me that they've figured out this formula where it'll take a little bit longer, but it'll give me the same thing as I would get in an IV bag.
For people who don't follow the UFC, this is a big issue in that when you drop 15 pounds, you can lose a lot of energy.
Yeah.
So you need to build back up before you fight. And there's a lot of fighters where they go, man, you know, that weight cut really hurt them.
You know, a lot of guys were really upset about it. You know, guys were like, whoa. Why can't we IV? It's something that's been happening forever.
Why can't?
Because,
what are people doing?
Okay, so it's a high level of cheating. But in the IV, you can hide some of the stuff you may have done previously. So some guys were using the IV as a masking agent for some of the things that they were taking. So there are some negatives to it. Some guys use it as normal, and some guys were actually using it to try and hide some of the things they may have taken in their training camp. So I'm all for it. I've done the USADA thing my entire career, even in wrestling. So I hired my guy. The guy's got me fit. He's got me ready to go.
It's so interesting. It's the voice of Daniel Cormier here on the Kevin DeBean Show, current UFC light heavyweight champion. He'll be fighting again this Saturday night at the Toyota Center in Houston. It's interesting when you look at how advanced training is now and how much medical assistance you guys get. When you think about the athletes in the past, the guys back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, what they accomplished when they were out eating steak dinners right before they fought. They were smoking on their way to the ring.
And everything like that. In between rounds.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It's like completely different. The athletes today are the most finely tuned human beings on earth, aren't they?
Oh, man. You know, I didn't realize how much
it's science. It's
science. Like, we even at AKA, you know, Dana once said that we live in the Stone Age, and it's kind of true because we would just go to practice, we would just train. We didn't have nutritionists, we didn't have people to work on our bodies. But now, man, every week, every practice, Dan is in practice. Not only is he watching me train, he's watching to see how my body's reacting to the food that I'm having, to the drinks that I'm having. He gave me something called beta alanine. I have no idea what it is. man, that stuff made me so itchy. He said,
really?
Daniel. He said, Daniel, he said, listen, this is the first time you've ever had it. He goes, so it's going to make all of your nerves and everything kind of come alive. So we're driving in the car, and I start rubbing my head. You know that confused when you rub your head? And I'm like, man, I'm so tired. But I'm not tired. And I'm like, God, I'm freaking out.
You were like,
so
like crazy meth
head. I was going nuts. And I was like, Dan, I was like, I'm pulling over. You have to drive. I started freaking out because I was like, everything just came alive, like all the hairs on my body stood up.
Daniel,
do we
trust this guy?
Yeah, I do. It's great.
Are you positive he's on your side?
It's great, man. It was like, it's like, it's all natural. It's everything, like, everything works. You know, it's like everything is legal. These guys work closely with USADA. It's like they know they're the cutting edge for what I need to compete. But he's watching me. He watches me hit the pads. He watches me wrestle. Watches me do jujitsu. And he plans accordingly from that.
He's
so
like a creeper.
Right?
A little bit of a creeper. He's kind of a creepy guy, honestly, but, you know, whatever.
Dude, stop eyeballing me. I'm working out.
He's looking at you right now. Look at that. He's still watching me. I can't get away from the guy.
Do you have you in the sparring that you've been doing, training for this fight, you're looking for guys who can do what Gustafson can do, right?
Yeah, but that's tough to find.
Yeah, how do you find a guy with, like, 17-foot arms?
Yeah, he's so tall, and he moves so well. But again, things kind of fall into place. Like, Ruslan Magomedov is fighting on that card. He's a 6'4.5" Russian kickboxer that has a sambo background. He's 2-0 in the UFC. What more could I ask for? I got Cain Velasquez to push me cardio-wise, which nobody else can really do that. And then I have Ruslan to simulate the length and the wrestling. So he doesn't move as fast as Gustafson. But his technique, his punches, his kicks, everything is just as good. So I've seen the height. I'm not going to be surprised by what I see on Saturday night.
Main card on pay-per-view at 7 o'clock Saturday night from the Toyota Center in Houston. More with our guest DC right after this on K-Rock. We've had thousands of guests on the Kevin DeBee Show over the years. We've never had one talk more about food than Daniel Cormier. He can't wait for chicken and waffles Saturday night at midnight, man. That's like whatever it is, you're going for it after fight, aren't you?
Well, you played my theme song, Cake and Chicken, when it started. Yeah, right. I mean, you kind of set the standard for this whole interview, didn't you?
Daniel Cormier is here in studio. It's always a thrill to catch up with the champ. Of course, as we mentioned, UFC 192 is this Saturday night. It's a great card. We'll talk about some of the other fights here before we go. But let's get back to Gustafson for a second. Uh-huh. What went wrong for him in January in Stockholm?
Okay.
He not only didn't win, he was dominated and destroyed the first round. What happened?
Well, two things went wrong. First off, he was fighting Anthony Johnson, and that sucks for everybody.
Yeah.
I can attest to that after that first punch I took at the beginning of that fight. And second, I don't understand how Alexander Gustafsson, whose native language is whatever they speak in Sweden.
Swedish?
Yeah, Swedish. His coaches decide to scream out front kick in English right after a break. They're yelling, Alex, front kick, Alex, front kick. Alex throws the front kick. Rumble sits on the front kick, catches it, throws the counter right hand.
I'm always fascinated by that because I think your opponent can always understand what your corner is saying. Are they tuned into that, or
man,
are you just tuned into your own corner?
Sometimes. If you're close, you can hear stuff. I promise, man, when I was fighting Anthony, I heard his coach yell something like, Anthony, man up. Anthony, don't give up. And I was like, wait.
This is good.
Because who knows him better than his coaches? Who knows him? Who knows the look of when he's starting to reach that point where he may be packing it in better than his coaches? So I'm like, you know what? Just keep going, Daniel.
Is that the first time that's ever been said to Rumble?
I don't know.
Man up.
I mean,
I'm not going to say it.
As long as you don't say it. And he's not fighting someone else in the octagon.
Okay.
I might yell, man up, Rumble, if he's fighting someone else and I'm on the outside.
But not you.
Not when I'm in there. No, I'm good.
What's going through your head in the octagon? And by that I mean, how much of it is just instinct and reaction, and how much of it is I'm thinking, I'm in the moment, I'm planning ahead? Like, how much brain power, how much manpower?
You know, I think a lot of it is just me going off of what I did over the course of 8-10 weeks in training camp. I'm just trying to do what we plan, you know, fight by the game plan. And if adjustments are needed, I make those adjustments. But most of it is just competition. I've been doing it for so long, man. I'm 36 years old. I started competing at a really high level. My first world championship in wrestling when I was 15. So I've been doing high-level competition for 21 years. And I kind of just rely on that. Like, when things get tough, I just kind of fall back on what I've done my whole life.
So before you get into the fight, there's a lot of this is the game plan, this is the game plan, this is the game plan. When you get in there, that's really just you take whatever happens.
Yeah.
You just go with it, right?
We do it over the course of camp. You know, even in my sparring, coach might say, I understand what you did in that round, but we need to get back on track. We need to get back to what we're trying to accomplish in this fight. And so by the time you go, it's so beat into your brain, into your mind, into your body, into your consciousness that it just happens. You don't even have to say, I need to throw this right hand. I need to go for a takedown. It's something that you've done so many times. It's just routine.
It's reflex.
It's reflex.
All right. This is going to sound like a really dumb question. We see so many guys who get really hurt during a fight, sometimes even breaking bones, yet they're able to ignore it and continue fighting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Like, mentally, how are you able to do that?
Well, I mean,
you've been hurt.
Yeah.
What's the worst injury that you fought with?
Oh, man, twice. I broke my hand against Bigfoot Silva.
In what round?
First round. Thank goodness it was a one-round fight.
Yeah.
Then I fought Josh Barnett, and I broke my hand again in the very first round, and we fought for 5 rounds.
Oh.
I didn't tell my coaches or anything. I just kept swinging that right hand and letting it fly. And every time I hit him, I would feel it
just floppy.
But then I would just press it. I would just press it to, like, try to get some pressure on it, and then just go back to fighting. You can see through the fight. I would just, like, every time we got space, I would kind of press my hand, get some pressure on it.
Put all the bones back into place?
Well, just, I don't even know what it was. It was just reaction. Like, this hurts, but what am I going to do? I got to keep fighting. It's like adrenaline. You're so high in that moment, but the moment you're done, you're like a baby. I mean, I literally left the Barnett fight, went into the hotel room and saw my mom and broke down crying like a baby.
Aww.
And my mom's holding me. It's okay, baby. It's okay. And I'm just literally in tears like a 10-year-old kid. He hurt me. Like, I had cuts on my face. My hand was broken. I was like, this sucks. What am I doing?
Now, when something like that happens, you said in the first round, do you get that? It's not a panic, but a reflex of, I might not be able to go the whole way, so I better end it sooner. Is there some of that? No.
I just stay in the moment. I didn't even tell my coaches, because the moment you start verbalizing it, it's like you start to think about it. So I just kept it to myself. I was like, you know what? My hand's broken, but
did your coaches
whatever.
Know? Could they tell?
No, I just kept throwing the right hand. They couldn't tell till afterwards, and they took my glove off, and my hand was like dipped all inside. It was really bad after that one. It was like it did like a roller coaster down the middle.
All right. Next topic.
Had enough of that, have you,
Ellie? I really have.
I'm so impressed, and that's why I keep asking these mental questions. I'm just so impressed with the mind of a fighter that you're able to put that aside because you've got a mission, you know, and you've got a guy who's continuing to hit you in the face.
Yeah,
I guess there's some incentive to keep fighting there, too.
Right? You could stop, but that guy's not going to stop. And then you have your injury and you have a loss. So it's like now it's double. So
do you at times, if you hurt yourself, your hand or something, do you at times think, I got to take him down and take it to the ground because then it won't hurt me so much? Or,
well, I mean,
or be a negative?
I do that all the time.
I know.
The majority of my time is like, I need to wrestle.
More or no?
I try not to panic.
Not really.
No. I try not to panic. You know, I try to use my wrestling as it comes. If I start forcing it, I can actually look pretty bad trying to wrestle when I'm trying to force wrestling. If I allow it to be natural and come, then it can be nice. Like, it can look like some of my takedowns on Dan Henderson, Josh Barnett, where I'm doing crazy stuff that I never envisioned doing inside of the octagon. But when I'm forcing it, I can look like I'm just starting to wrestle, like my first day in the wrestling room.
This is like, what's he doing?
Daniel Cormier is here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about UFC 192 this Saturday night. Let's talk a little bit about the other fights on the bill, because it's a good one this time around, right?
Oh,
so we got you and Gustafson at the top, and then the Johnny Hendricks fight. Is that right in front of yours?
Yeah, Johnny Hendricks, Tyron Woodley is the co-main event. This is a fight that will dictate who's fighting for the championship next. Tough fight. Johnny's an Oklahoma State guy like me. Tyron's a guy to wrestle Missouri. They both competed. But, man, athlete and Tyron Woodley, who can wrestle and punch against Johnny Hendricks, who, if he touches you with that left hand, you go to sleep. You know, I mean, Big Rig is his nickname. And there's nothing more fitting than Big Rig Johnny Hendricks. This is going to be a good fight. I can't wait. I'm going to have to actually turn the TV off because I'll start watching it when I should be preparing for my fight. Yeah, man. I start watching these fights, and it's not good for me.
Are you going to watch the Ryan Bader fight?
Because
I think if he wins, he might have something to say to you.
You know what, man? If Ryan Bader wins this fight, you know he should say something because he should get a championship fight. This is it's an uphill battle for him though with Rashad Evans. This is a tough fight for Ryan. Ryan has improved, and you know what? Just the fact that you asked me about Ryan Bader.
I do it
I
every
appreciate
time.
It. I know, like, I appreciate it because it shows that Bader has evolved.
Because I was scared for just a second.
No, it shows that Bader has evolved. He started to understand the other side of this game. You cannot just go into the octagon and be vanilla. You have to understand how to make people pay attention. It seems like that's what he's doing finally.
What's the difference like with training to be the champ, which you do most of your life, and then once you're the champ, is it much harder, much more difficult? Do you do it differently when you're defending your championship?
Well, you know, there is that feel like I really don't want to lose this belt. You know, that's like another level to it.
Took me this long to get it.
It took me a long time to get it. I'm not giving it up.
Right.
But I've always trained hard. You know, I've always worked, like, really, really hard because I don't want to walk to the octagon questioning myself. Like, I don't want to be worried about, did I do enough? Did I prepare enough? Did I put in the hours? I always train hard, so I've trained just as hard. I truly do believe now, though, that me and my coaches, we understand timing better. So just last week, I felt like I was still on an incline. I haven't peaked. I haven't started to level off. I haven't started to decline.
Mm-hmm.
I've been rising the entire time. We planned this camp perfectly, and I feel better than I ever have.
That's beautiful. You know, and also, even though you're 36, which isn't 26, you also have that much more experience, too.
I've got a lot of experience, and you know what, man? 36, but I only started fighting when I was about to turn 31. So it's not like I've been fighting long as some of these other guys. Alexander Gustafsson's been fighting longer than I have. He's been in more wars than I have. He's taken more damage over the course of his career than I have, so... Who's really the older guy, you know, outside of age?
Do you think age is more important or how much damage you've taken over the entire course of a career?
Look at Nogueras. I think those guys are like 32 years old.
Yeah.
You know, they can barely walk. I mean, they may be a little older now, but even at that age, those guys could barely walk. You see some of these guys young. There's a guy right now. I can't remember his name. He's like 30, 31 years old. Guy's been fighting so long. It's a Brazilian guy. I'm like, Shogun. Shogun's very young. Shogun's much younger than I am. He's like 32, 33,
right?
34 maybe. I mean, listen, BJ Penn retired. He's only, 34 years old, 33 years old? But they had been in so many battles over the course of their careers that you can't sustain that. Whereas I haven't had to do that. I haven't taken much damage. I haven't been beat up much. I haven't been in knockdown, drag-out wars, and I don't plan to.
So you have another, like, 15 years.
No. I would have another 15 years if I wanted to, but I don't want to. This is not going to be too long for me. I don't want to be the old guy getting pushed to the octagon in a wheelchair.
That's a lot of water.
Plus, we want to see you on TV, so stay away from Daniel's pretty face, all right?
Well, I wouldn't call my face pretty, I tell you that much, but, you know, better than Rosendo's.
Well, I am sad that we are out of time, DC, because we love having you in, and we always root for you. We'll definitely be buying it Saturday night. We can't wait to see the fight. Preliminary cards there on Fox Sports 1 starting at 5, by the way. Main card on pay-per-view at 7 from the Toyota Center in Houston. It's UFC 192, Cormier versus Gustafsson. Good luck, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you guys for having me. You guys are my good luck charm. I asked to come to the show before the fight.
Fantastic. Thanks. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8.
Hey, quick reminder, by the way, the Red Bull Sound Space up and running again tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. The band Imagine Dragons is back. They are so fun live. They're going to be in the Red Bull Sound Space starting at 3 o'clock tomorrow at K-Rock.com, and you can watch that for free. Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Good morning, Ralph.
Because it is Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hotel Transylvania 2. In its debut, was the big winner. Well, more than that, it was a record-setting opening for a September movie. $47.5 million. A lot of people agree with me that nothing is funnier than Adam Sandler playing a vampire who sings lullabies that have changed the lyrics to them about vampirism.
You lost me to Adam Sandler.
That's a sweet spot right there. I lost you and Adam Sandler.
Come on. I used to watch all of his movies.
But Kevin James is in this, too.
Does he run into a...
And David Spade's in it.
Glass? No.
And there's a blob. He's like, oh, don't worry, it's blobby. And blob is fine. Yeah. He's blob.
Yeah.
But we have to make him a vampire. Bleh.
I don't know, 3 or 4 Adam Sandler movies have come by, and I'm just like, no, thank you.
Well, you're missing out. You're missing out on Hotel Transylvania 2, my
yes,
friend.
Yes, I am.
The Intern was second in its debut, $18.2 million. Then Maze Runner, The Scorch Trials, Everest, and Black Mass were your top 5 films. The Visit, The Perfect Guy, War Room, The Green Inferno, and Sicario in limited release rounded out the top 10. Speaking of movies, no movie that is not out yet perhaps is getting more attention than the next film in the Star Wars franchise. And to take advantage of that, Profiles in History, which is a great auction house that sells a ton of Hollywood memorabilia, they're having a big auction starting on September the 29th, running through October the 1st. That is all Star Wars related. I mean, they got other stuff too, like an original Mr. Spock tunic from the old Star Wars TV series.
Star Trek.
Star Trek, yeah. Leonard Nimoy, of course, played Mr. Spock on that show. And they've got one of his screen-used costumes that they're saying could go for anywhere from $50,000 to $90,000.
Wow.
When it's finally auctioned off. But as I mentioned, a ton of Star Wars stuff, like an actual Darth Vader production helmet. That's going up for auction. An original screen-used Rebel Fleet Trooper tunic from the first Star Wars film, the same, about a Rebel Fleet Trooper helmet. They've got Stormtrooper helmets. But the item I think that has to be the big moneymaker for this. Can you imagine? If Spock's shirt is going for $50,000, how much are people going to spend
on Harrison Ford?
On Harrison Ford himself. He'll come to your house and just grumble. And he'll just bitch and moan about how his toast is burnt and things aren't pleasing him.
But it'll be cool because you won't know what he's saying.
That's right. He'll be sitting at your breakfast table every morning going, he's going to have a lot of pulp in there. Aren't he? His eggs are runny. And you won't know. You won't really catch the occasional thing, but he'll be in your house.
Yeah.
Or you can bid on Carrie Fisher's actual screen-used Slave Leia costume from Return of the Jedi.
Wow. Allie wants it.
Is there a more iconic costume other than maybe Darth Vader's that Star Wars fans will go ape over than her actual brass bikini with the chain around her neck and the whole thing and the drapes covering her hoo-ha? How much is that going to go for? All the money, right?
Yeah,
all the
yeah.
money. That's got to be $100,000 right there.
Oh, I think so. Allie, if you bought it, mm-hmm. would you try it on?
I would after a very serious cutting of weight because she was so tiny.
She was
back
a waif.
In the day. Yeah. She was so super small. So thanks for bringing that up.
You're tiny too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a cow.
Oh, come on!
Oh, thanks, guys.
Don't be so mean to yourself.
You're a little cow. A little one.
She's a calf.
She's a calf. She's
a
calf.
Calf.
Yes.
She's
not a
calf.
Cow. Come on.
She's half calf, half poodle.
Poodle.
Don't what? Be moved. She's calf from the front, poodle from the back.
What's just saying.
Just saying. Sometimes your hair is poodle-esque.
Yeah.
It's poodlish.
Sometimes I don't
it's poodly.
Brush.
Hey, tonight's a big night. Check out the new host of The Daily Show. Comedian Trevor Noah will make his debut on The Daily Show tonight.
Huh.
Kevin Hart will be his first guest.
Right.
And while we're talking about television, if you missed the first season of USA Network's Mr. Robot, which I did, and a lot of people I know who watched it loved it, Network just sold the video-on-demand rights to Amazon Prime, so you can stream the episodes of the series before season 2 starts. I didn't know this, but it was the summer's number 2 program on all of cable television behind AMC's Fear the Walking Dead.
Wow.
So,
Kevin,
numbers.
You watched it.
I did.
Tell us about it.
I loved it. It was really good.
What'd you like about it?
You know, he played... You trying to trip me up here? Is that what's
yeah,
happening?
But of course that's what he's trying to do, Kevin.
No.
How long till you learn? When Bean says these words regarding any
right.
subject matter to you, Kevin, why don't you tell us about it? And then just sits back and lights a cigarette and gets out a tub of popcorn.
Yeah,
I
have
you
no
up.
Ulterior motives here,
oh,
except for the fact that, like many people, I am busy and
okay.
don't have time to watch everything.
Right.
I want to find out if
yeah.
this is the type of show that I should sit down and try to catch
right.
up on.
And Kevin's the only source of information you can get about
he's
Mr. Robot.
He's the only
Robot.
Person
you're
I know
right.
who watched. Watched it.
Okay.
He's like a security consultant, an IT security consultant, and
uh-huh.
then, you know, the bad guys get him, and then he starts hacking people, and then they're trying to bring down the evil corp. It's really good. It's really well done.
So where's okay. the robot in it?
She's got a point. It is
right?
called Mr. Robot.
Uh-huh.
If I was watching that and there were
no
freaking robots,
robots
oh,
I would
so
be cheesed
where's
off.
The robot?
Yeah, I don't know.
Does he hide out on Pink Fruit Mountain? Does he ever go there? Does he ever hide out there? That's all I want to know.
No.
What? Where's Mr. Robot now?
It is right there.
Kevin,
the Pink Fruit Mountain.
Right. Pink Fruit Mountain. Kevin, I'd like to make you feel better sometime this week and bring in some audio of Bean explaining Cuba to us.
Oh,
that I think would make you feel much better about yourself.
Oh.
How Bean believes it's a sealed ecosystem and they don't have any germs there and it's all going to come to an end because people are traveling there. It's fascinating. Fascinating radio.
Fantastic.
You got to take a listen.
I can't wait.
And the whole thing, his whole opinion on Cuba is based on feelings.
Feelings
he has about Cuba. Yeah, oh yeah.
It was pretty
spectacular. Today's celebrity birthday is Hilary Duff is 28 years old today. Singer Saint Vincent, she turns 33. Bam Margera is 36. Dita Von Teese is 43. Naomi Watts, 47 years old today. Mira Sorvino is 48. And Young Jeezy, who I've been informed by several sources that he has dropped the Young some time ago.
Oh.
He's just Jeezy now.
Oh.
I think the Pope gave him a shout-out in Philly over the weekend. I'm not sure. He said, here's a shout-out to Jeezy. Or he may have said Jesus.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
I don't
sure.
think it was Jeezy.
I've got those rabbit ears on my television, and sometimes the sound is spotty. He's 38. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's The Red Zone and the NFL Network joins us in about 30 minutes or so to recap the weekend. Shut up, Allie. First, though, Johnny Strange is a longtime friend of ours that we have talked to many times over the years. He is a base jumper. He's a surfer.
Kevin, God damn it.
That's the wrong button. He's a surfer. He's a skater. Also, if I recall correctly, Johnny, weren't you the youngest guy to climb the highest mountain on all seven continents? That was you, right?
Yeah, I used to be me. And then
That used to be you?
Oh, did somebody come along and do it younger than you?
Yeah.
Son of a
what
bitch.
A dick. So this is a kid who climbs Kilimanjaro and climbs Mount Everest and climbs, I guess, what's now called Mount Denali. You climbed them all. And you're actually off on some sort of an adventure now. What are you doing right now, Johnny?
Yeah, I'm actually on a mountain right now. We're climbing something in Switzerland and then wingsuit base jumping off of it. We just got weathered pretty good, so we're going to have to down climb most of it. Because we can't jump in these conditions. So I hope you guys can hear me okay.
You have a better connection than I have with anybody in Los Angeles.
You sound great, Johnny.
Awesome.
So what are you doing? Are you doing this just for fun, or is this part of a competition, or what are you doing right now?
No, I'm filming a new wingsuit proximity video. That's where we fly super close to stuff.
Right.
For a company called Apex Base and Tony Wingsuits.
Nice.
And then, coming back.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, listen, the reason we wanted to have you on is Dave follows you on all the social media, our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico. And he said not only is Johnny off doing crazy base jumping again, but Johnny is hitchhiking all over Europe. Now, we haven't talked much about hitchhiking on this show for a while, but does he have that right? Is that how you're getting from country to country, is just sticking your thumb out the old-fashioned way, Johnny?
Well, I'm not old enough to rent a car. So usually when I'm over here, if I'm not meeting jumpers, I'm hitchhiking. It's not really that big a deal. I mean, I guess it sounds crazier than it is. And that's why if I ever see hitchhikers in America, I always pick them up. And then I trade them, like, a ride for a story. So if they tell me, like, their story or how they ended up here, I'll give them a ride to wherever.
Okay, so this is really, really fascinating. This is what we wanted to talk to our listeners about hitchhiking, about either picking people up or doing the hitchhiking. We want to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. I'm surprised to hear you say that, Johnny. I mean, aren't you worried about the risk of who you might pick up, who might be intending to do you harm?
I mean, honestly, like, all the people I've met have been really good people, and a lot of them just need a ride sometimes, and it barely costs me any time to pull over and give a guy a ride. And if I'm alone, I mean, the only risk is to myself, and I don't really think it's that big of one. I mean, I hitchhike all the time when I'm over in Europe and in places. And
is it a normal thing in Europe? Does everybody hitchhike there and pick up hitchhikers?
I don't really know if it's, like, too normal, but I pick up hitchhikers every time I see them in Los Angeles, and I've never had, you know, an issue. They've all just been super grateful. You know, I picked up a guy in his pit bull one time, and he was saying that he was
hold
out there for 5 hours.
All right, hold on
no
a second.
To give him and his dog a ride.
In Los Angeles?
Yep.
So there's a guy with a pit bull with his thumb out.
Yeah. I love dogs, though.
Did he also have a bomb strapped to his chest?
No. Well, it was like, I mean, clearly he wouldn't be, you know, trying to get a ride
the dog was some threat. And I'm a huge dog lover. Like, I've rescued German Shepherds. I like dogs more than people. So I was more inclined to pick up the dog than the person anyway.
Yeah. Look, I'll take the dog. You have to walk.
Look, I 100% get that. I totally understand why you'd want to, you know, pick up a dog, because you don't want to see a poor dog standing out there in the hot sun or something like that. So you've never had a problem with all the time you've been hitchhiking. You've never had you never gotten into a car and the guy was trying to duct tape you or drug you or take you to his cabin or anything like that. You've never had anything creepy happen, and you've never had any problems with any of the people you picked up trying to rob you or knife you.
I mean, like, I could see how certain people would be targets. But, I mean, in my car specifically, I mean, I have, like, parachutes in the back seat and my ice axes and stuff. They probably think I'm crazy. First of all, when they get in the car and they see whatever weird stuff out in the back seat.
Plus, you're holding a machete.
Yeah. Well, I always usually have, like, climbing gear, so it'd be, like, crampons or an ice axe. I'm going somewhere, or, like, a parachute or something weird in the back. So they're probably like, this guy is super weird himself.
Have you ever had somebody try to hitchhike and you pull over and they go, you know what, I'll wait for the next guy?
No, and then in terms of picking people up, like, if you – I could see – or, like, people picking me up, I could see if someone was targeting people, I probably wouldn't be the one they would target. So I'm not really too worried about that. I'm mostly just stoked to get picked up, because sometimes we go hitchhike or we go base jump.
Right.
And we'll climb this mountain and fly this wingsuit down, and then we land on a road – you know, somewhere super far away from wherever we left, and that's the only way to get back. Like, I've been on the side of the road in Norway with my Austrian friend Peter one time for hours and hours, and he had this whole method of how to hitchhike. He was saying you have to smile a certain way and stick your thumb out and look really friendly. No one picked us up, and I was laughing the whole time. He ended up getting mad. He's like, you're messing it up. Like, you got to do this and that. And we didn't get a ride. And I thought it was pretty funny. So now when I, like, see people, I'm like, oh, I've been there before. Like, come on, where do you need to go?
The answer is you got to show a little leg, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think anyone wants to see my leg.
Oh, all right.
Johnny, you are one of the most interesting people that we have ever met. Every time we have you on, I crack up at the crazy life that you were living. You seem like you really do enjoy yourself every day, which I love.
Oh, yeah, I love this stuff.
It's great. All right. Well, that's awesome. So we're going to take some calls now at 1-800-520-1067 with your hitchhiking stories.
And if you want to follow this adventure, follow me on Instagram on StrangeWorld01. So StrangeWorld01, I'll be posting stuff, and it should be pretty fun.
Okay. And what do you think? You're just waiting for the weather to clear, then you can go back up and try that jump again?
We'll wait until the morning just with these conditions. I don't really want to get hurt.
Yeah. All right. Be safe, Johnny. We always appreciate having you on the Kevin Bean Show, man. Thanks so much for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You guys are the best station in the world.
Thank you. Talk to you soon, sir. Bye-bye.
All right.
It's our friend Johnny Strange right there. Look, I know we got to take a break, and then we're going to come back and take some of these calls. But here's what I said last year, Kevin, when I came in and said that I saw this very attractive young woman who was hitchhiking on the island. I said, of course I'd love to pick her up, but what's the potential downside for that is so great.
Well, I mean, I guess the downside for you is great. The upside for us would be huge, though. You have to consider that. Like, if something bad happens to you, we're all good.
Well, I'm glad you've got your priorities in order. All right. Your call's coming up next right after this on K-Rock. Talking about hitchhiking, taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067, whether you have been the person picked up or the person doing the picking up. LAist on the web, LAist.com, they just did a video piece of trying to get people to get hitchhikers picked up in Los Angeles. Here's a little bit of how that sounded.
What's up, guys? We want to make this video to show you that it's still possible to hitchhike. A lot of people think that, oh, yeah, hitchhiking is dead. No one's going to give you a ride. In the toughest of all places, the most shaded of all places, Los Angeles, it's still possible to hitchhike.
Hey, what's up? Are you guys heading towards the beach?
Yeah.
Can you give me a ride a few blocks? I'm just trying to get a little further down that way.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
If you actually want to get a ride, you're going to have to actually go out there and knock on people's windows. What you want to do is go out there and look for guys who are maybe by themselves in a beat-up-looking car.
Hey, excuse me. My man.
And they're going to be the people who are going to be the most receptive to you saving the $5 on Uber.
All right. There's a good tip. That's what he says. Let's see what Kevin says in Malibu. Line 3 up first on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling.
What's up, brother? This is Kev Ski from Labu.
All right, Kev Ski from Labu. Right.
Okay. A lot of times I got to see my people in the valley, so I'm taking to Pinga Canyon. I pick up all sorts of people on the way.
So that's a normal thing for you. People hitchhike
normal,
all the time.
It's a normal thing. I pick up from Euros to, like, skateboarders to undocumented workers.
Is it more prevalent in the Boo, as you say, or is it anywhere?
I think it's all over. Huh. I think it was started at a young age. We would take family trips, and my dad would just pick up a couple of Euros, and I would be wanting to get home and watch the SummerSlam, and he'd be busy talking to him, taking him for a beer, and I don't know. I think it's a joy of life, meeting different people and just sharing stories.
Come on, you guys. It's the joy of life. That's what we're missing. It's the joy of life.
Yeah. I think we're glued to these, like, cell phones and all that crazy stuff, and then we don't get to really communicate and, like, experience, like, life. Like, my brother and I, we drove to Cabo, and we tried to pick up some hitchhikers, but our car was so full of surfboards and all our crap for camping and stuff that we couldn't pick up the dudes, but I think that we want to do that next summer.
Has it ever happened where you picked up a hitchhiker and then they realize that you call yourself Kevsky and they asked to get out?
Nah, they enjoy it. They enjoy it.
Just checking.
Sometimes they're scared to get in because of all the water bottles and surfboards and you say name it, from sports equipment to whatever.
Sure, I got
I have
you. All right, Kevsky. Well, listen, you have a great day in the Boo, and we appreciate you calling, okay?
Okay, stay blessed, brother.
Thank you, brother. Right. Let's go to Allison, please, line 4 in Los Angeles. Now, girls hitchhiking. Allie, what does that do to your brain when you think about girls hitchhiking?
Well, when we were discussing this, going along with Kevin, I grew up in a beach community, and we would hitchhike all the time.
By yourself?
With friends, whatever, but just a little backpack on. Oh, you going this way, you going that way? Fine.
I feel like it's a little different in a beach community.
Yeah.
I think everybody's more chill. Everybody's easy going. I don't think you're going to find a lot of axe murderers there.
Would you hitchhike now, Allie?
Absolutely not. Everyone's trying to kill me.
Okay. Allison, thank you for the call. What's going on, my dear?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Hi there.
And Allie.
Good morning.
So I was stranded for a pretty messed up reason because my ex-husband was a jerk out in Gorman in the middle of the Grapevine.
Right.
And I needed to get home. And it was only me. I was dropping off my kids, so it was only me. And honestly, I just went. I got myself a couple of beers. I got my gear going, and I started walking down the 5. First, I started at the on-ramp to see if anybody would be kind enough, but
right.
They weren't. And then I just said, forget it. I'm just going to start walking, and I stick my thumb out. And a very nice lady was nice enough to pull over, and I asked a basic question. She didn't want some cash or something, and all I had was like 10 bucks on me. And all I wanted to do was get to Magic Mountain because I knew I could, you know, get a bus ride or something from there. But she was really nice, and she took me all the way to Burbank.
I don't think that was headed at all.
Turn that off. Okay.
So she did ask you for money, though, huh? That's interesting.
Right. She said if I had anything to contribute in terms of gas, just because gas is expensive and whatnot. She had a, like, economy car anyway, but, yeah, I gave her the 10 bucks.
Look, it's pretty cool that somebody was willing to help you out, though. I mean, it worked out for you. You know, you were in a desperate situation, it sounded like. This was probably pre-Uber, so I'm glad it worked out for you.
I was in a very desperate situation, and all I asked was if she was a serial killer. She asked me if I was a serial killer.
I like that.
That's nice.
I like that because you can't lie.
Nope.
You have to tell the truth when somebody asks you that question.
Just before you get in the car, you know, I mean, you got to have some kind of...
You're not a killer, are you? No, of course not. Are you? No.
Boom. There's your takeaway. Another valuable lesson learned from the Kevin Beecher. Thanks, Allison. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is on the line. He joins us Monday mornings on the Kevin Beecher, of course, the host of Around the NFL and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Hey, Andrew. How are you, sir?
Good morning, everybody.
I was just marveling to Kevin right before we brought you on the phone that you're watching 10 football games at one time, yet when you're not on camera, you still are able to tweet. It's just, you're a miracle, Andrew, a miracle.
Actually, well, first of all, thank you for the kind words. Second of all, I would suggest, or I would say that the fact that I do that doesn't make me a miracle worker. Instead, it suggests some kind of issue. The fact that I actually want to use social media while watching 10 games at once seems to be some kind of major malfunction.
But the thing about sports fans is that they're usually very supportive of whatever you're tweeting.
Very kind.
So you got that going.
Never
for
questioning
you.
Him.
Right.
No. They never question what game you're going to or why you're watching a game too long or never accusing you of gambling on a game, and thus that's the reason they're subjected to watching it.
Andrew, let me ask you one more question about that, especially about the Red Zone show. What is there a team that you hear from the most, their fans, that say, hey, you're not you don't give us a fair shake, you're being unfair, whatever. Is there one team that just, they all sort of don't like you?
Well, I mean, I can see where this is going clearly, Kevin. So if you're trying to get me to say Allie's Patriots friend,
right?
Is that what you're trying to get me to say?
Well, sure. I mean, as an example.
Right. I mean, they are, you know, usually angry.
Right.
For reasons that escape me. But yesterday, I don't think they were angry because they put up 51 points on the Jaguars. But Eagles fans can get angry, but usually they don't get angry at me. I take it back. When you point out that the – like, when you state facts, for example, the Eagles were 0-2. The Eagles had only 11 yards rushing from DeMarco Murray. Things like that coming into the game. Then, yes, they often question your lineage, your physical features, your mother, things like that. Eagles fans think of that as well.
Well, I want to ask you about a couple of games, Andrew. First of all, how long has it been since a team had as bad a day as the San Francisco 49ers did yesterday?
Wow.
How sweet.
Well, I can tell you this. Colin Kaepernick became the first quarterback to throw two pick sixes, meaning passes intercepted and returned for touchdowns, in the first 6 minutes of the game since 1925. So that was
wow. I was watching that and I was like, this can't possibly happen. Not just interceptions, but they took him to the house. It was like, that. I don't know how you come back from that.
Well, they were identical.
He was the Cardinals' best player.
He was. He at one point had completed three passes to the Cardinals and four to his teammates.
He does good work. That's all I'm saying. The Cardinals are for real, and they're going to the Super Bowl. I think we all agree on that, right, before we move on?
Well, you know what? I would say it more than I've ever said it before. They're 3-0 in back-to-back seasons for the first time in 91 years. They have a legitimate defense. Carson Palmer is healthy. I think they're better than they were last year. And last year they could have very well been that Super Bowl team if Carson hadn't gotten hurt against the Rams.
Right.
So, you know, keep him crossed. If he stays healthy again, there's no reason to say that they can't go back. Now, the team playing tonight, the Packers, might have something to say about that.
Let me just one more thing about the Cardinals. It's really not the Cardinals, it's about you. And that is 47 points, fantastic. But I didn't want him to get to 50 because then it's a 50 burger.
Come on, well, Andrew.
And the 50 burger. I mean, Andrew.
You hate the term, what I'm trying to, because the Patriots dropped a 50 burger on the Jaguars.
Right.
And that's fine. But we don't want to hear 50 burger. I have some ideas for you.
Okay. Other ideas other than 50 burger?
Yeah, the $50 bill, Ulysses S. Grant.
I like
How
that.
About Ulysses?
Like Ulysses, you
right?
want to, okay.
I like it.
Okay.
Okay, then go
Done.
With that.
All right.
Go with that.
Let's talk about a couple of other teams who seem to be doing great. How about Dave's Atlanta Falcons? They seem to be for real, right?
Well, they do, and it's somewhat surprising. I don't know that their defense is still as good as many would like it to be because, yes, they have a new head coach in Dan Quinn, and he truly has been a miracle worker. But I don't know if all the parts are there for them to play defensive, to play well defensively the entire season. However, Julio Jones is amazing, and Matt Ryan is back to his old form. And the Cowboys laid down and died in the second half with Brandon Weeden at quarterback. And, yay, the Falcons are 3-0. But, I think the other side of that is, what do the Cowboys now do at quarterback? Because Tony Romo is out till week 11. And, look, did Brandon Weeden play poorly enough to deserve to be benched? No, probably not. But they went out and traded for Matt Castle for a reason last week. And
right.
Matt Castle isn't God's gift to quarterbacking either. But Brandon Weeden is, you're not going to win with Brandon Weeden. Let's get this out of the way right now. So the faster they can bench him, I say the better. Look, they play, the Patriots have the week off. So you guys, next Monday, Allie will not be complaining. So the Patriots have the week off. In 2 weeks, it's the Patriots and the Cowboys. I all but guarantee you Matt Castle starts that game for the Cowboys.
Or Tim Tebow.
The governor of Texas came out last week and threw it out there.
Really? I was just kidding.
I'm not kidding.
All right. This is the voice of Andrew Sicilio out on the phone, of course, for DirecTV's Red Zone channel and around the NFL and the NFL Network. I want to ask you about one more thing, and this was just this was serendipity. This timing was incredible when you were giving the stat yesterday about Chip's Dolphins and Tannehill not throwing any interceptions. How long after you talked about the record amount of time between interceptions for that quarterback, how long after you said those words did he throw a pick?
About 2 seconds. Matter of fact,
about two
my
seconds.
Stop moving.
Thanks,
yeah.
Andrew. Thanks
oh,
a
yeah,
lot.
It's his fault. Yeah.
It was there. First of all, there's no such thing as a broadcaster jinx. Like, I love when you point out Clayton Kershaw has a no hitter through seven, and then people barrage you.
Oh, that happens.
Him.
That happens to us all the time. That happens to us. Like, we'll interview somebody 2 weeks before an event, and they go, "Oh, nice job."
Right. Yeah, I mean, come on, people. And it happened. And just for the record, we didn't fake that. I mean, there are other, you know, shows that will, you know, send you there knowing something's happening and give you the context because, you know, they're running it off a tape 40 seconds earlier, then lay out and just, oh, look, we set it up for you perfectly. That was just sheer luck that we did that yesterday.
Well, you can count on the Dolphins, though.
Well, at least he threw two more picks on top of that.
Yeah, so clearly it's not my fault. And by the way, how about the fact that one of the Dolphins players, Brent Grimes, his wife who's on the radio down there, got arrested in the parking lot before the game? They're a disaster. I mean, the Dolphins are a – they're look, they went out and spent all this money on Ndamukong Suh, and he's playing fine. He's playing well. But, I mean, that team, that was – the Florida teams, I think, got outscored 140 to something yesterday.
Wow.
All three of them, the Bucks, the Jaguars, the Dolphins. It was – it's another reason to not live in Florida.
Are the Dolphins
the most overrated place in America?
Are the Dolphins already out of the playoffs?
No, they're only 1-2, so technically right. They are not.
Okay.
All right, good stuff, and we'll hear much more from Andrew this afternoon on Around the NFL at 3 o'clock on the NFL Network. DirecTV's Red Zone every Sunday, all day. Andrew, you're the best man. Thanks for coming on. Have a great week, sir.
Thank you. You as well, guys.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:53.
Hey, who's the dick is a question we ask from time to time on this program.
Yep.
I'm not involved in this one.
What?
Who's the dick was created for Bean.
But he can still win it, right?
I might still be the dick after we hear
it's
your story, right?
He's a write-in candidate.
Right.
Yeah. And it's only been used for Bean.
Uh-huh.
And yet,
until now.
And I think I have to ask if who's the dick for me.
Kevin's going to ask who's the dick.
A
I'm very excited.
Vacation who's the dick?
Yeah.
I think Bean.
It's Bean.
I wasn't there. Hey.
Still always the safe bet. That's where the smart money's going in Vegas.
That is coming up just after 9 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, keep on listening. We got another pair of tickets for you for Universal Studios Halloween Horror Night. Details at KROQ.com. Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday.
Hey, Chip, how did that Santa Anita Microbrew Festival go for you guys?
It was awesome. Super, so much fun. Metalachi's great. You know, we had a water balloon contest to give away a beer pong table, and I was just pegging lightning with water balloons.
That
was very helpful.
Like fun.
Who else were you pegging?
A beer pong table?
We had a beer pong table,
that's
yeah.
That's a good giveaway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Water balloons. You're throwing water balloons.
Yeah, lightning.
And
just hit lightning.
Only hit lightning?
Yep, just lightning.
Lightning got hit with water balloons.
How about that? Did you hit anyone in a wheelchair?
Maybe.
What? No. What?
Is that your mom?
She hit somebody in a wheelchair. Oh, water
come
balloon.
On. That ain't right.
That's how Chip rolls.
Oh, that's how that guy rolls.
What?
Wow.
No.
Wow.
He's in a wheelchair.
K-Rock, they have fun things. They have good times.
Yes, they do.
Speaking of good times, how about the annual K-Rock Good Times Blackjack Tournament?
Yeah!
That's coming up right around the corner on October the 9th. It's going to happen at the Morongo Casino. Friday, October the 9th. It's going to be a lot of fun. You get a chance to play blackjack, tournament-style blackjack. And we've got tables with our own morning crew that will be sitting at each of these tables. I will be giving away seats so you can play with your favorite K-Rock morning personalities.
Especially Ally McKay.
Allie will be there. She'll be in attendance.
I was told it was Old
Maid, no? She will be in attendance this week. No, you're an Old Maid, but it is going to be blackjack. You misunderstood.
Okay. I apologize.
Dave, the King of Mexico, Beer Mug, Allie, and Kevin will all be participating. I will be giving away tickets so you can play with all of your favorite jocks this This week, I'll be giving away tickets so you can go Friday, October the 9th for the event. You have to be 21 years of age or older. No entry fees required. And, of course, you can go to Morongo Casino yourself and just join in the fun. You can sign up for the blackjack tournament. It's going to be a blast. Here is your opportunity, however, to sit at Beer Mug's table. Let's start with Beer Mug. And how many am I giving away here? Does not really say. It says
I think it's one.
It says one.
One.
But it says each table sits five people. Does that mean just in general? So it'll be Beer Mug plus four others?
Yeah, I think so. You can be one of the four, I think.
All righty. Yeah. Well, let me give away right now a seat to play with Beer Mug at the third annual K-Rock Good Times Blackjack Tournament. You can play with Beer Mug. Call him right now, 1-800-520-1067. Since October 9th is the date, how about caller number 9? Is the lucky caller who gets to sit with Beer Mug and play opposite.
That is awesome.
Blackjack. It's a very confusingly written little promo piece right here. I'm a little perplexed, but call now and something good will happen. How about that?
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
That's annoying when one person plays it. When you double it up, gets better.
Well, you want to hear it again?
Always.
Call now. 1-800. Sorry.
Today is Monday. That means the top 10 movies at the box office. We always take a look at them over the weekend, see what people went to see in the theaters. Hotel Transylvania 2, in its debut, was number one. Not only number one, but set a September record for a movie opening up in that month. $47.5 million in its opening weekend. Spectacular. People can't get enough of David Spade as the Invisible Man. I've always said that.
People can't get enough of having kids that want to go to the movies. I'll tell you that.
In turn, in its debut, second, Maze Runner, Scorched Trials was third, Everest and Black Mass were your top five films at the box office. The Visit, The Perfect Guy, War Room, The Green Inferno, the new horror film from Eli Roth, came in at number 9 with $3.5 million. And then Sicario, in limited release, $1.8 million, made it number 10 at the box office this weekend. Snoop Dogg, I don't know if you know this about Snoop Dogg or Snoop Lion or Snoop Llama. I don't know what name he's going by this week, but he enjoys weed.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He likes marijuana. New York Post says Snoop was at the Telecrunch Disrupt conference last week in San Francisco. That sounds like
That
sounds like a painful procedure you do with the proctologists, but the Telecrunch Disrupt is all about cutting-edge tech apps, what have you, and Snoop introduced his new website, MaryJane.com. MaryJane.com. It's in the beta testing stage right now, but apparently in the next few weeks you'll be able to log in and learn about all things pot. You'll learn how to cook with marijuana, where to buy it legally, reviews on dispensaries, a blog to share your pot smoking experiences. How long are those blog entries going to be, by the way? First, I'm just rambling on and on and on. Mary Jane with an E, MerryJane.com is the site, and it's Snoop's brainchild, so congratulations.
Snoop Dogg's in the house.
Right. But now you know, Disney is making way for its upcoming 14-acre Star Wars land. Right there alongside Disneyland is going to be something to behold. But unfortunately, in order to make it, to get it there, they got to close up some of the existing rides in Disneyland. Hmm. Theme park officials have said they're closing the Fantasmic Show, the Mark Twain Riverboat. Let's sink that thing, don't we? Really? Do we really need the Mark Twain Riverboat anymore?
No.
All right. Come on. Riverboat? It's a riverboat.
My answer is yes. Everything is great.
The sailing ship Columbia, Davy Crockett Frontier Explorer Canoes. All right, Davy Crockett.
The best.
You don't even know who Davy Crockett is or was, Kevin. You don't know what role it plays in the Disneyland mythos. But I'm telling you, although it was an important part, I think we can let Davy go.
I don't know. I love that ride so much.
Because what happens in it?
You go in the canoe.
Right, and Davy Crockett was?
The guy that discovered Australia. Right?
Yes, he was.
Okay. The Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer Island, and all four stations along the Disneyland Railroad. Starting in January, all those will be closed while construction begins for Star Wars Land. So a small price to pay, because Star Wars Land has taken over the northern part of Frontierland there and taken over Big Thunder Ranch's current location. So there's a lot to do, but when it's all said and done, we're all going to be happier for it, because there it'll be. We'll all be doing that.
I agree with Kevin that Disneyland makes all the right decisions and everything.
Well,
they
then
do
this is,
perfect. Is
the right decision.
But I feel like I agree as well. We're not going to miss any of that stuff, and Star Wars is going to be awesome.
Right.
Allie, why are you not already in line for that opening up?
I have someone waiting for me.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
She pays people for that.
Come on.
She goes down to Home Depot and picks up a couple day laborers and says, "Stay, oh hero." I go, "No lo sé." Today's celebrity birthdays. Young Jeezy, who now apparently goes just by Jeezy, 38 years old. Today, Mira Sorvino's 48. Naomi Watts is 47. Dita Von Teese celebrates her 43rd birthday today. Bam Margera is 36. St. Vincent turns 33 today. And actress Hilary Duff. She's still married to Mike Comrie. Is she the one who was...
I think they divorced, then they got back together, I think they're off again.
Young love. She's 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.
That is the voice of a man named Kevin Ryder, who used to be on this show, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. And then he came back. What was it? Did you get fired? What happened?
I was on vacation.
Oh,
suspension?
Vacation.
Just for a week?
Vacation. Must have been suspension.
Yeah, had to be, right?
What'd you do?
I went on vacation.
You had an infection?
No. Oh. What are you talking about? I went to Mexico. Had a great time. Cabo. Really fun.
Nice. Did you habla a little bit while you were there?
Oh, you know me.
I know how you are.
Si se puede.
Right.
Right.
Whatever that means. So we always do this bit called
Bean's a Dick.
Who's the Dick?
Bean's a Dick. Is that what it's
because Bean tells us a story, and then Bean is always the person who's the dick.
Right. That's not true.
He has a run-in with people. He tells us both sides. Then we vote.
Bean has one level of interaction with other people.
Right.
Didn't we come to the conclusion that I wasn't the dick with the guy who was asking for the gas at the gas station?
No.
Oh, really? That one was on me,
too? You came in saying, I know I'm the dick. That was the one you believed you were most dicky.
All right. So usually you think I'm the dick, so now we're going to find out if Kevin is the dick.
I'm going to say not usually. I'm going to say I don't know that we've ever ruled in your favor.
Okay.
All right. I'm in Mexico.
Dick.
Room service. Get the menu. Looking through it. Can't find... mac and cheese. Now, mac and cheese.
Jesus Christ.
Mac and cheese is my favorite food.
Okay, but can't you be a grown-up for a minute and you're vacationing and try some of the local cuisine or do something?
Yes, that was plan B. But then I do like I do, and that's you check the kids' menu because they always have mac and cheese, right?
Right.
So I go, mac and cheese, they have it. This is great. So I called up room service and I go, hey, I'd like mac and cheese. And they'd say, that's on the kids' menu. Mm-hmm. And I said, right. And they said, it says right there, I mean, on the menu, it says 12 and under.
Wow.
Right? So I was like, I know it says 12 and under, but, I mean, you have mac and cheese, right? It's not like you're going to have to make it for a 9-year-old. It's there. You're just waiting for somebody to order it, right? Yes. So I'd like to order mac and cheese. It's 12 and under. I was like, what are you talking about? Just bring me. Okay, I'm 12. Now I'm starting to be a dick. All right, I'm 12 years old. Bring me mac and cheese. Sir, we can't do that. And my head exploded.
Why would you say it's for my son or my daughter or my kid?
Because in my mind, I was like, you know, you understand like R-rated movies or whatever is for somebody's protection. You know, you understand all of those types of rules. But for kids,
who gets hurt by them bringing mac and cheese?
Is it going to hurt anyone if they bring me mac and cheese?
So it's more important for you at this point to make a stand?
Well,
this
Ralph,
is where you're drawing the line in the sand, Kevin.
Well, Ralph,
you're going to school the guy in the kitchen at the hotel in Cabo rather than just go the easy route and get your food.
Here's the thing. There are times when you're not fully in control of your emotions, let's say.
Uh-oh.
And when it comes to mac and cheese, goddammit.
Not normally. But you know how things really escalate from like 5 miles an hour to 100 miles an hour? Now I'm angry because of course they could bring me mac and cheese.
Sure.
This is stupid. And I said, I want to talk to the manager.
Over mac and cheese.
Right?
Oh.
Why wouldn't they bring me the mac and cheese?
Their rules.
So the manager gets on the phone. I'm like, look, I just want mac and cheese. How hard is this?
Are you crying yet?
No. I was about to throw down. I was going to hit somebody, though. I was ready to throw down.
I know how emotional you get during your cycle. Which is what it sounds like is going on. This is one of those diet things like
Did you start with, hey, orale, Pedro? Did you start with that when you got on the phone?
No. Hello, American on the phone. Listen up.
And in response to your question, Ralph, later, of course, I was like, what the F was going on? How angry could I be about? But they wouldn't bring it, and that didn't make sense to me. I couldn't get my head around the fact that I had to be under 12 to order the mac and cheese, which they have.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying if you want the mac and cheese, wouldn't it be, instead of trying to go through the brick wall, wouldn't it be easier to take three steps to the left and walk around the brick wall?
Yes, but I didn't know there was going to be a brick wall there. I just figured I'd order it and they'd bring it.
Well, when they said, you know what, you got to be 12 or under to order this, that would have been the brick wall for me where I would have said, oh, well, that's good because I've got a six-year-old nephew here who's
Get it. At that point, I was thinking, are you out of your effing mind?
Yeah. You had a point to make. I understand.
I got caught up.
A man has to plant his feet and take a stand and say something about his character, Kevin. I understand it.
I got completely caught up in the dumbest argument that's ever been had, but I got my mac and cheese from the manager.
Yeah.
Right?
Were you concerned at all? Yeah. Are you concerned at all that
about the cheese?
Maybe the cheese had a special ingredient.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't. Mm-hmm.
There's no question the cheese had a special ingredient.
Oh, yeah.
You got the house special sauce.
So, who's the dick? Because I would suggest that they could just bring you the mac and cheese. I mean, what's the downside of bringing it?
As dumb as I think you handled that, I think you are spending good money at the hotel and the food is available there. You're not asking for a special order. Yeah. They should have just brought you the mac and cheese.
Wow!
Yeah. Although I thought you went about it poorly, I think you were in the right and you're the customer and you're paying good money to stay there and they should accommodate you.
Allie?
I totally agree with Ralph. You were an absolute a-hole about it, but you were right.
I 100% agree with the room. I think the hotel was completely at fault here. If the customer calls and wants mac and cheese, send them up some mac and cheese. You shouldn't care how old they are.
Yeah.
I mean, the only reason I think
not
they
the
make...
Dick.
You're not the dick. I think the only reason they make any kind of a distinction on the room service menu is under 12 is maybe they just have a lower price for kids or something like that, I would imagine.
It's a smaller amount, but just...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you could have also said that you identify as a 12-year-old.
Yeah. Did you tell them that you never watch the news?
I don't think
you're a kid. Gone with that.
If they had ever heard the show, they just would have given me the mic.
I don't feel like that would have helped at that particular
Pedro,
moment.
Come up here to the room and give me an IQ test. I will prove to you I'm a child.
Orale, Juan. Dolareros Americanos, amigo.
Looking back on it, what an insane idiot I was.
Well, it was a bad path.
Right.
To go on to get your mac and cheese.
But you're saying even though I was a complete a-hole getting there.
They forced your hand is what
they
I said.
They did.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
they
I'm not
did.
The dick.
No, you're not
You're not
the dick.
You're not the dick.
How about that? I'm so happy to hear that. I'm so happy because I've been afraid.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 9:37.
We've heard something brand new from Mew. You know, like a cat called Mew. That was called...
What?
I Am Why... No.
Doesn't the cat go meow? Cat doesn't go mew, does it?
Kitten mews sometimes.
Maybe. Do they really? They mew?
Meow.
Yeah. I'm unfamiliar with that term. Meow. All right, Rodney, thank you for that. Ralph is here now. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
A mew is the sound that a newborn animal makes, like a mewling kitten or mewling cow.
What are the chances that Rodney knew that and was using it correctly?
Zero.
Okay.
I'm assuming it was meow.
Right.
M-E-O-W.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Whereas Mew would be spelled M-E-W.
Now, that is the name of the band he was playing, was Mew, M-E-W.
Well, then he's right.
Wow.
Wow. Rodney laying some knowledge on us.
Brr.
Okay. Now we know.
It's one for Rodney.
What's
well
the score?
Done, Let's take a look up at the scoreboard.
Let's not look at the scoreboard.
$4,720,000,000 That's nuts.
Bunga bunga.
Yeah, well, let's see. That's on the other side of the scoreboard right there. Along with the Groovlers.
The Groovlers.
Hey, what are you doing New Year's Eve? Hey, I'm talking to you.
Wait, this year?
Yeah.
New Year's Eve?
No, New Year's Eve 2018. Of course this year.
Might as well ask that.
Coming up right around the corner.
It's still September.
Too
much wine?
Kevin, we're already at... 4/18 Christmas or something. Right. Come on.
Yeah, I don't have plans yet.
Well, now you do.
Okay.
How funny is Bill Burr?
All.
Of all the comedians we know, wouldn't you have to put him right up there in the top five?
Easy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He is one of the funniest, smartest, and nicest guys we know here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's a brilliant comedian. He is performing December the 31st at the Orpheum Theater. If you'd like to see Bill Burr, why don't you give me a call right now? 1-800-520-1067. Two lucky winners. First two to get through with that phone number. We'll get a pair of tickets to see Bill Burr performing at the Orpheum Theater on December the 31st.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
It will be quite something, Rodney. Bill Burr at the Orpheum on New Year's Eve. Tickets for this event go on sale this Friday at Ticketmaster.com. You can buy them if you can't win them. But first two callers right now with that phone number will be the lucky recipients of a pair of tickets to see Bill Burr performing live. He is brilliantly funny live. And,
Bean, was it you that went someplace on New Year's Eve and they quit like 10 till?
Yep.
like 10 minutes before
that, but that's so Bean. How happy would Bean be that if they quit at 8? He'd been like, oh, this is the best New Year's Eve ever.
But everybody else had to be really angry.
Go home, get a warm cup of sour chocolate milk and just nestle into bed.
It was a surprise. I'll tell you that.
It's 11:50 on New Year's Eve.
11:50. Good night, everybody. Right, happy New Year.
See you later. Like, who would do that? Who was it?
What? It was Barry Manilow.
Oh, well, you deserve that.
Probably snapped a hip and had to run back and get some emergency surgery. Or maybe his face came undone.
It could be.
Like 8 pounds of skin just flapping down onto his chest.
The knot came loose again.
This was...
Can we get Barry's knot tightened, please?
This was at the time.
Barry's got a loose knot.
This is the Universal Amphitheater. And my wife and I are walking to the car at 10 minutes to 12, or I guess by the time we got to the car, the fireworks started going off, and it was midnight. We're just getting in the car and getting ready to drive away. Show was long over and emptied out by then.
You know, very solid is that, really, if you're going to Barry Manilow on New Year's
Eve? Well, I think it's his fault. I think it was bad clock management is what I think.
Mm, I think if you're going to a Barry Manilow show on New Year's Eve in the 21st century,
yeah,
You got better than you deserve, quite frankly.
Well, it was a great show, but it was a surprise again.
You should have been shivved in the parking lot is what should have happened.
Wow.
They should have nicked an artery. That's all I'm saying. Speaking of bleeding out, Ray Donovan last night.
Oh,
anybody?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Anybody?
Didn't see it.
Oh,
but
sweet Jesus in heaven.
You spoil it. I'm fine
Mickey
with that.
With the...
Oh, Mickey. There was a lot of bloodletting going on last night. That's all I know. And where is the priest taking Ray, right? Who's with me on this one?
Well, it looked like they were driving towards L.A.
Because there's no doctors anywhere near where they are?
Well, he was driving back to L.A. because Ray had to drive all that way out to see him.
Right. Are there no doctors out?
You don't want to go to a doctor out there.
Yeah, you do.
No.
Yeah, if you're perforated, nope. You absolutely do. And that priest was not, like, in a hurry, like, oh, my God, what's happening? He's like, hey, how's it going?
Really? You think something's
come on, Allie?
I didn't get that.
Oh.
My Look, God. I hesitate to say anything because I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it.
Spoiler alert.
But I felt like the priest thought it would be fair if somebody gets buried in the desert. That's what I thought.
That's what I took away from.
No, not Father Romero. No.
You don't.
No.
You got that little screen in your car. You can't see what's really happening, Allie.
True.
You
can't
see. She watches everything on her phone.
You're right.
Watching on your Watchmen.
That's a great reference.
Thank you. We should have heard Bean go off on the PS1 last week, Kevin. You missed it.
Oh, my God. All the good rants.
Talking about all the kids just sit home playing their video games on their PS1.
But this was directly
from 1994, apparently.
After he said he was going to be the hippest old man ever.
Another one of those rants. He's going to be the coolest 100-year-old in the world.
Did he mean Xbox One?
No.
Because that is new.
No.
Nope.
It's like, hey, you know, I'm going to be the hippest old man ever. I talk to the kids about playing the video games on the PS1.
Wow. Wow.
You missed it. He took over for you big time while
I missed
you were gone,
nothing.
Kevin. He filled in the blanks. All right, what the hell am I doing? Did I do the top 10 movies at the box office?
You did not, but
nope.
No one missed it.
Wow, how are you going to hate like that?
All right, I'll move on to the next story then. Maybe we can get out of here early.
If you wanted to know, it's Bean's fault.
Vin Diesel says the Fast and Furious franchise will end. He posted on his Facebook page. Via Facebook, he responded to the rumors about the Fast and the Furious franchise, and he said, yes, it will end after the next trilogy of films.
Next trilogy?
Yes. There will be three more Fast and the Furious films, adding up to a total of 10. But then they're done. Once the 10th Fast and the Furious movie comes out, they're thinking maybe the Fast and Furious franchise may have run its course after the 10th film.
Ralph, except for James Bond, what other movie franchise has had 10 installations?
I'm hard-pressed. Hard-pressed to think.
Maybe Friday the 13th, maybe?
Oh, yeah. That's probably had a bunch of them.
But, I mean, there aren't many.
Nightmare on Elm Street, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But, wow, that's crazy. It's got to be one of the biggest, most popular money-making franchises.
What Harry Potter have? What Harry Potter? Nine?
Like eight or nine,
eight
yeah.
Or nine. Anyway, yeah. So we're gonna get three more. And then maybe another three, and then we'll talk about
it. Then after that, maybe. A couple more.
We'll have to wait and see.
Well, then they got to reboot it, right?
Then they got
a
Fast and Furious refueled.
How are they going to do three more of those movies? The last one that they
but what
they
did the
dropped,
last one make?
They
a
dropped
gazillion dollars.
They dropped cars out of an airplane,
right?
Space.
And
now
they also
jumped from one high rise to another high rise.
Right. Now they're going to go the other way. They're going to shrink the cars,
okay,
via shrink ray, and then drive into someone's colon. It's going to be Fast and the Furious poop. Fantastic. All right, they're working on the title.
I don't want to see that one already. I'm out.
You know what you want to see, though? The Jacksons, The Next Generation. That's right, you heard me.
And by Jacksons, you mean the Michael Jackson family? That Jacksons?
Sons of Tito.
Nope.
The Sons of Tito.
Nope.
It sounds like the worst lodge you could ever join, by the way.
No.
But the emotion, too much for Tito.
It is too much for Tito. I'm part of a new club. Who is it? The Sons of Tito.
What is happening?
They're getting their own reality series.
I want to be in the Sons of Tito.
I bet you do. The New York Post says the Jacksons, The Next Generation, will premiere Friday on Lifetime and follow Taj, Terrell, and TJ through their lives, which includes their group, 3T.
Nope. You're making all of that
I am not. 3T, by the way, their debut album sold 3 million copies in 1995.
What?
Wow.
What?
When everyone was playing their PS1 listening to 3T.
Are you serious?
Even in 1995, I don't buy that. There's no way 3T sold that.
3T, you know 3T.
I don't really.
What was their biggest hit? Remember that big hit 3T had? No, sure. Yeah. Now you got no music to play. I try to play real music. You got nothing to play. I'm staring you in the face, and you're looking down at your nails, chewing your gum. I'm trying to give you the eye. Play any piece of music audio that you have. What was that? Yeah, that's the big hit for you.
Pretty long. I didn't think you'd know. Another 6 minutes, you want it?
I couldn't get the first 6 seconds. Why would I want 6 minutes? I'm literally looking at you going like this, not at anything. You're looking down at the carpet.
I wasn't looking down.
Looking for crumbs. Some snack that you missed. You were looking down.
I thought you were asking me a question that I was supposed to ad lib an answer to, so I had come up. Fudge Time. And then Fudge Time was in my head, and then I was the Ralph was looking at me like, oh, you need a song. Oh, okay, so I was going a different way with that. I wasn't really.
Here's 3T now. Their big follow-up hit. 3T's big follow-up hit.
Right.
The guys also said they have lots of stories about Uncle Michael. Like one time, they wanted to go to the mall, so they dressed him up in a baseball hat and sweatpants and put him in a wheelchair, and in about 8 minutes, everyone recognized him. So, is that one time that happened. Tune in tonight on the Lifetime for more stories from 3T.
That is a great story.
The Jacksons, The Next Generation. The Sons of Tito.
Balls, 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 balls.
And now for the initiation into the membership of the Sons of Tito.
Sons of Tito.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jeezy, a.k.a. Young Jeezy. 38 years old today. Mira Sorvino is 48. Naomi Watts is 47. Dita Von T is 43 years old. Bam Margera is 36. St. Vincent. She's 33 today, and Hillary Duff celebrates her 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Donald Trump was on 60 Minutes, and this is going to surprise you guys, but he didn't think he got a fair shake.
What? Well, they were asking for all those pesky details about his plan, about how he's going to make America great again, and Donald Trump does not like the details.
They should have just asked him, are we going to get tired of winning? That's the kind of questions he wants to get.
Yeah, it's true. But he did not, and we'll talk to him tomorrow. We also have the Pope has a new album. Did anyone see this?
Sweet. Yeah.
The Pope has an album. I mean,
trying to give you the look again. No audio from you. Nothing.
Just let me tell you, I'm a
come on.
Hold it.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
And comedian Bobby Slayton, also tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.